Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Friday, June 7th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, an officer assigned to investigate a rash of robberies at 7-Eleven stores in Bucks County shot the suspect who was robbing the Langhorne location, police said. It happened at the 7-Eleven store on the 200 block of North Pine Street late Thursday night. The suspect was taken to the hospital alive, but the severity of the injuries has not been released. This particular 7-Eleven has been robbed three times in recent weeks, police say. The officer who shot the suspect was a member of a task force created by police in Bucks County along with the FBI to investigate the 7-Eleven robberies. Police have said, haven't said which department the officer is a member of. At least nine evidence markers could be seen through the front door of the store. Authorities have yet to provide any further details. A statement is expected this morning from the Bucks County District Attorney, and the store remains closed at the time. Authorities in the Dominican Republic are claiming the deaths of a Pennsylvania psychotherapist and an American couple 5 days later at the same resort may be unrelated incidents. An autopsy reveals 41-year-old Miranda Sharp Werner of Whitehall Township died of a type of heart attack that's led to respiratory failure. Her husband says that she had a drink from the minibar, then suddenly collapsed. Dominican police are also investigating the deaths of a Maryland couple at another hotel. It was originally reported that they were at the same hotel, but now they're saying it was another hotel on May 30th. Officials say 63-year-old Edward Nathan Holmes and 49-year-old Cynthia Ann Day appeared to have suffered respiratory failure and fluid in the lungs. The deaths were reported that they took place at the same hotel. Police said several bottles of medicine to treat high blood pressure were found at the scene of the couple's death. Now, a Colorado couple says they now feel compelled to speak out about their story. They claim that they were poisoned by insecticides at the same resort last year, the Grand Bahia Principe Resort in La Romana, after deciding not to buy a timeshare at the resort. The couple saw a doctor who said that they were likely poisoned by a pesticide. They had filed a lawsuit asking for $1 million in damages after the hotel refused to refund them and reveal information about the chemical use.
I was watching a segment, I forget what show it was on, but it was about this and about deaths specifically of Americans at these resorts. And so they said a number is like 150 over the course of 10 years, maybe 11, 12 years. And I'm like, well, I don't know, you know, out of all these resorts and so on and so forth. But there's, if you look at amount of people who are there as opposed to that number, it actually is a lot.
A decent number.
Yeah. And so they were saying, and they were advising, though there was no conclusive, yes, there's a plot to kill Americans or whatever.
Right.
They said, you know, obviously we tend to go, okay.
Wait, were these all suspicious deaths?
There were a number of suspicious deaths.
Okay.
Yeah. Some, you know, but there was, again, what happens is sometimes something like this will happen and then they'll go back and review previous deaths.
And then, all right, what was this? Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just odd. It's this woman was there. She was perfectly fine in her 40s, collapsed. She's dead. And then a couple, and now this Colorado couple speaking out about something that happened to them. So the Dominican Republican Minister of Tourism went on the defense Thursday, suggesting all three deaths could be coincidences and that they were all, they maybe all had pre-existing health conditions. Toxicology results will take about a month to come back.
I'm sorry. You said conditions. And
yeah, I know.
Sorry.
You said a word naughty and it made us laugh.
It made me get
when I go sorry, down
it's
there.
It's not a funny story, but I found
no, it's not. When I go down to travel to tropical areas, it's usually because I produce snuff films and I go down to see what's
well, easy to pull
and
off
I never on. Feel safe on those sets, you know?
New Jersey Transit announced the suspension of the entire River Line late Thursday night. The transit agency said during routine inspections, it was discovered that some of the wheels on the train cars did not meet safety standards.
Don't the wheels on the train go round and round?
Usually that's the bus, but train I would expect too. Yeah.
Inspectors discovered a defect in a single batch of wheels delivered by the manufacturer. Due to the suspension of the line, express shuttle buses will operate at the line's four largest stations. River Line fares still apply to shuttle bus service. Now, New Jersey Jersey Transit Executive Director Kevin Corbett said that they are working to restore service as quickly as possible, but they haven't released when that will be. Express bus service between Trenton, Florence, Beverly Edgewater Park, and Walter Rand Transportation Center in Camden will operate in both directions with the most frequency, every 15 minutes between 5:45 and 8:30, every 30 minutes between 8:30 and 4 o'clock, and then back to every 15 minutes between 4 and 7 p.m., every 30 minutes between 7 and 9:30 p.m.
Could you repeat that, Kathy? I just got it.
There will be bus and shuttle service at the other stations as well. In sports this morning... The Phils were off last night and opened up a three-game series at home against the Cincinnati Reds. After losing five straight, the Phils have won two in a row and are still in first place in the National League East, two games in front of the Atlanta Braves. Tyler Mahle will get the start for the Reds tonight, and Zach Eflin starts for the Phils. Game time is set for 7:05. In the Stanley Cup Finals, the St. Louis Blues beat the Bruins 2-1 last night.
Wow.
Game five in Boston.
Wow.
Jordan Binnington stopped 38 shots, and the Blues held on to take a 3-2 lead in the best-of-seven final. Ryan O'Reilly and David Perrin scored for the Blues, who have won two straight games since a 7-2 loss at home in Game 3. It was the first time in the series a team has won two in a row. They can win the first championship in franchise history at home in Game 6 on Sunday night back in St. Louis. The Golden State Warriors will look to bounce back from their loss on Wednesday and even the series in tonight's Game 4 of the NBA Finals against the Toronto Raptors. The Raptors lead the series 2-1. Tip-off is at 9 o'clock. The Philadelphia Eagles have signed franchise quarterback Carson Wentz to a four-year extension through the 2024 season, the team announced Thursday. The extension is for $128 million and includes guarantees of over $107 million, but can escalate to a maximum of $144 million. Wentz's total deal is now 6 years for $154 million, but can grow to a max of $170 million.
Sucker.
And the Philadelphia Union are at home tomorrow night against the New York Red Bulls in a game in Chester. 16 games into the regular season, the Union are in first place in the Eastern Conference with 8 wins and 28 points. The game is scheduled to begin at 7:30. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kath. Welcome to Friday, dear friends. A lot of things to celebrate. We'll get to all that in a little bit, but we need to award one of our final Coolest Teacher of the Year recognitions to pass along. Yesterday, we had solicited for LaSalle College High School to text in and tell us who the Coolest Teacher of the Year was. And they did that, and we have a prize, and we're ready to announce our winner. So let's do that very thing. Had a little gas, so let's get rid of that first. And I'm feeling very strong this morning.
Yeah, running bionic. Amazing.
But let me play the timpani to get set up here. You okay, Case? Casey's the one who supplies those particular effects.
You know, the burp and the bionic sound.
Well, I just love you. I had a little gas. Feeling very strong.
Well, you got to roll with it, you know? All right,
oh,
so we are ready to announce our winner. And our winner from LaSalle College High School is Mr. Jerry Miller. And Mr. Miller is a social studies teacher. And you know what? This is a really cool send-off because this was his last year teaching.
Wow.
At LaSalle. Yeah, he's been a faculty at the member at this school for, listen to this, 40 years.
Whoa. 40 years, and he finally got the mug.
That's amazing, man. And he is, I'm really interested to talk to him and find out about him. Marissa found some pretty interesting photos. I guess this is in, I don't know, is this in his classroom, Marissa? We think so. He's got what looks like over 100 stickers, like bumper stickers.
Wow.
And one of them is a WMMR sticker.
Yeah.
Marissa circled it and also showed me his grade book from his first year, which I'm not really sure. I'll have to take a closer look at that. But that's
his first year of teaching?
Yeah, 40 years ago.
Wow.
Or at least at LaSalle. He's been at that school. He's been teaching at LaSalle for 40 years.
He's been at, what I said, three separate schools, 40 years each.
Oh,
he's been teaching for 120 years.
No. It says here he's been a faculty member at the school for 40 years.
That's pretty great.
That's flat out amazing.
I mean, I'm like, it's seriously, my son's in sixth grade. He'll be in high school soon.
that's one of the high schools we're looking at. I mean, obviously, O'Hara is definitely, you know, on the list or whatever, but LaSalle College High School is definitely, it's a really good school.
If he goes there, he'll be near where I live.
Ooh.
That's a selling point.
It is, because he can sleep over at your house.
Yeah. So I'm curious if he's retiring or if this is just his last year at LaSalle. I can't see.
Well, call in and tell us.
Being there 40 years and then just picking up and going to another school. But nonetheless, we congratulate Mr. Miller, and we are going to give him the coolest teacher of the year coffee mug, and we'll also give him a $50 What a Crock Meals gift card. WhatACrockMeals.com.
I'm sure when you start teaching, you dream one day I'll get a free crockpot meal.
Yeah.
But then you never believe it's going
to
happen.
And then on that last day, they hand it to you. So
wait, come back. You're kidding.
So hopefully we'll hear from Mr. Miller at some point.
It's awesome.
I will stay, though, Steve, because I'm on a subscription plan with those guys.
They're great.
At WhatACrockMeals.com. Yeah. When that box comes, it's as exciting as when the Amazon box comes.
Well, what's great is when you remember you have one still in your freezer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy!
Oh, I have my freezer is overloaded with Watercrock meals. It's crazy.
That's good. Okay.
But you can't earn the mug because you're not a teacher.
I'm not.
You must be very proud. All right, here we go with our final school. This is it for 2019. Steve is reaching into the container and is going to pull out our last name, Steve.
Make I'm finger blasting the box here with me,
please. I know you are diddling it quite a bit.
I got a taker. I hit something. There we go. And it is, Preston, it is.
Who's it going to be?
Make it a good one. It is. Oh, my God! St. Basil's Academy in Jenkintown, PA.
St. Basil's! Is it Basil's or Basil?
Basil's.
It is Basil's.
St. Basil's Academy in Jenkintown, PA.
JTP, man.
JTP.
Yeah.
All right. Is that all girls? That's all girls, right?
You got me.
I think we went from all boys to all girls.
Look at us.
Fair enough. Let's find out St. Basil's, who is the coolest teacher of the last year. Please let us know. Text the word teacher to 39333. You got to text the word teacher followed by the teacher's name. And we'll compile it over the weekend. And on Monday, we'll find out who at St. Basil's of Jenkintown is our coolest teacher. So
yeah, you're right, Case. It's an all-girls school.
Cool. Well, thank you for participating, everyone, in this. Besides that, we have some other things going on. I'm sorry, we're going to give away our Word of the Week prize, 4 Hershey Park tickets and an overnight stay for 4, so get ready for that. Guest-wise in the studio, I'm really interested to have this gentleman here. His name is Jimmy O. Yang.
Yeah.
He's performing at Helium Comedy Club tonight. If you watched Silicon Valley, you know who he is. If you saw Crazy Rich Asians, you know who he is. And Crazy Rich Asians, he's the really over-the-top guy that throws the bachelor party. He's a total D-bag. None of them like him.
No.
But for some reason, he's like that guy.
He came around.
That friend that you just end up hanging on to for one reason or another.
Yeah,
but he's insanely rich and crazy. And he's going to be stopping in this morning. He's also he plays a really cool character in Patriots Day. He's the guy that gets basically carjacked and held hostage by the terrorists.
Yes.
And driven around for a while.
He's a good actor.
He's a really good dramatic actor, too. So Jimmy O. Yang is stopping by this morning. Should be pretty cool to meet with him. He's at Helium, like I said, tonight and tomorrow night. We also have our friends from Elmwood Park Zoo stopping by for the Beast of a Feast event, which is coming up on the 20th. So we'll get the details from them when they stop by a little bit later on this morning. So we got several things to get to today. Let's go ahead and take a break. Come back in a second. Entertainment report. We have some breaking news. A friend of ours, Steve, you just sent that information over to me.
Yeah, yeah.
I did not know.
Mm.
We were teased of yesterday, but we'll get to that and some other things when we return. Stay with us.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Let's do a stupid question, see if we can give away a 4-pack of Maurice Pierre's water park passes.
Ooh.
And we're going to do a Stanley Cup question because hopefully it'll be over on Sunday and the Blues will win. We'll see. The last Canadian team to win the Stanley Cup, who was that? 215-263-WMMR was the last Canadian team to win the Stanley Cup. 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. I got a bunch of birthdays today. On Friday, June 7th, to kill some time till we get your calls in. And we have a couple of musical birthdays that we'll start with, three of them to be specific. Dave Navarro of Jane's Addiction and Red Hot Chili Peppers for a little bit of time.
Yeah. Damn good musician, correct?
Yeah, he is. He's a really solid guitar player.
Dated Carmen Electra?
Yeah, they were married.
Were they?
For a little while, yeah.
Didn't know that.
52 years old, but yeah, I don't know how long that lasted or what the status of their relationship.
He's big in the Ink World, too, right? Ink
Masters. Well, yeah, he's one of the judges.
The judges,
Ink
yeah.
Master, yeah. I saw the Jane's Addiction one time at the Spectrum.
How were they?
They were good. You know what? I only remember a couple of things about the show. One, Dave Navarro and Flea made out on stage.
Hey, cool.
That was kind of cool. And they also moved, from the main stage because I had, like, terrible seats. I was all the way in the back. And then they came up and they did this song in particular on, like, a tiny little stage, like, right in front of us. And that was cool. That was really worth it.
I was at that concert.
Yes.
I absolutely loved it.
Okay.
I thought they were phenomenal. I'd never seen Jane's Addiction before and was very impressed.
I would love to see them,
I remember being at that show. And when they went to that satellite stage, it was so cool, yeah.
I'm fairly certain. The other thing I remember is that the Eagles were playing the 49ers at the Vet. It was a Monday night. I'm fairly certain that.
Any more random data?
No, that's it, Steve. Happy Friday to you.
I remember a yearning for pudding that night.
I like that term, random data.
Yeah.
That's precisely it. He's 52, Dave Navarro. Eric Kretz, drummer for Stone Temple Pilots.
The Kretzer.
This radio station and STP have a long history together, and I've met Eric a couple of times, kind of a quiet guy, but straight ahead, solid drummer, and what Stone Temple Pilots needs. He is 53 years old today.
Does his talking with his music, Preston.
That he does. And, Case, did you see this next one?
I got you.
Oh?
Ladies and gentlemen, it is the birthday of the Welsh stud, Tom Jones. Tom is 79 years old today.
Tom Jones.
Maybe we'll do a really big celebration when he hits 80 next year.
God, would I love to get him in the studio.
But I guess that would be, on a Saturday, right?
Isn't we'll come in.
The calendar works out.
Yeah, right?
Bill, please, we have to go live. Tom Jones is available.
I love Tom Jones.
So years and years ago, we've talked about this many times. He had a show, first time I ever encountered, even knew Tom Jones. He had a show on ABC, like a variety show. And all I know is that every mom that I knew went freaking nuts for him.
Yeah.
And so they called him the Welsh Elvis or whatever. Yeah. And so he's you want to talk about a guy who blows out his vocal cords.
Oh my God.
Tom Jones.
Powerful, soulful voice. And a few years ago, he came out and did a small segment on the Grammys. I forgot who it might have been Jesse J that he was singing with.
I think you're right.
Yeah, they did a duet, and he was phenomenal. The
still
guy
got
can
it.
Still do it.
I'd like to hear him and Shirley Bassey do a duet.
Oh, my God, yeah. They still got it after
your tinnitus would skip up like 200%.
But the great Tom Jones, I love that guy. 79 years old today. Liam Neeson has a birthday.
He's got full-blown AIDS.
He has full-blown AIDS.
In my next movie, I play a snowplow driver who has full-blown AIDS.
I've got full-blown AIDS.
Full-blown AIDS.
Hilarious.
He's great.
Ra's al Ghul, man.
Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah, Batman Begins, that's right.
Taken was great. Roy.
Has he done any lighter fare in the world of cinema?
Yeah.
I've got full-blown AIDS.
Well, I mean, that's not a movie. But,
Where he's the main character in a comedy? He did. He played a cop with like post-traumatic stress deal.
Sounds hilarious.
It sounds like a scream, doesn't it? But he had issues.
Okay.
And it really, clearly because you're nodding your head, you remember it so well, it didn't do well. But he is in
it is like
Ted 2.
The A-Team is kind of lighter, too. I mean, but
right. Okay. Schindler's List has its funny moments.
Dude, God, he is great in that movie.
Honestly,
just a masterpiece.
That sits squarely on the shoulders of Ben Kingsley. Who's amazing.
He's
and
incredible.
Liam Neeson. I mean, there's some great performers. Oh, well, and of course,
Ray Fiennes.
Who's just.
Eamon Goth. There are three incredible performances in that movie. And if you've never seen it, even though given the material and how heavy it is, it's just an amazing piece of film.
Yeah. Work of art.
He is 67 today. Carl Urban. Man, did we love that guy when he came by here.
He's great.
And he's been in a lot of stuff. And I love seeing him pop up. And you're like, oh, there he is again. Lord of the Rings, he played a few characters in the Star Trek series. He's McCoy.
And does so good as McCoy.
Yeah.
And in fact, he got to meet DeForest Kelly's widow, and who played the original Dr. McCoy. And she told him he would have been fantastically proud of the performance.
It says here Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, Scourge. Remember Scourge?
Oh, yes.
He's the kind of a...
He had his dual M16s. Uh-huh. That he got from Earth. That's right. He's 47 today.
And the best Judge Dredd ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still really have to see that. Anna Kournikova, the tennis player, is 38. Is she the one that has the poker hand named after her?
Yeah. Ace King. It's called the Anna Kournikova because it looks good but never wins.
Yeah, right. She's in a Farrelly Brothers movie. I think she's in Me, Myself, and Irene, too.
Okay.
She's a cameo.
She's 38. Bill Hader. Turns the big 4-0 today.
Super talented.
Yeah, he's great.
I love Barry.
I've only seen a few episodes, but I know it's very funny.
Listen,
he's a hitman who wants to become like an actor, right?
Yeah. So he plays like a former. He plays a Marine who was over in Afghanistan or whatever. And as it turns out, he's an amazing sniper or whatever. So his commander back in the States just kind of turns him into a hitman, and he goes out to L.A. for a hit, stumbles into an acting class, and then he's like, oh, I like this. And so he's doing, it's really funny, but it's compelling. The characters are great.
Henry Winkler
is awesome in it.
Cool. Yeah. Bill Hader, 40 today. Michael Cera is 31 years old.
Another guy who's in a ton of great stuff.
I just watched a little bit of Superbad the other day. It was McLovin's birthday last week, and the fake ID that he creates. It was his birthday the other day, and that scene when they introduced the fake ID with him and Jonah Hill and Michael Cera is really hilarious.
McLovin?
What, you're an Irish Hawaiian?
He's 31, and then the last birthday. It's AI's birthday today.
Oh, really?
Allen Iverson turns 44 years old today.
I think you described it recently, and I agree with you. I always appreciated his capabilities, was never a big fan of the guy I assumed he was.
Yeah.
But he's changed.
Oh,
I think
he's changed.
He's embraced the sport. He seems to be...
He's realized the mistakes he's made.
Yeah.
Is what happens with age a lot of times. And even if you're filthy rich and you blow all your
money,
you learn a few lessons.
You might learn something.
You might learn something. If you don't pay attention, even they I learn can just get to do.
You said it all, man.
Yeah.
You said it all.
What were you going to say?
I was just going to say, I don't know if he's changed all that much. He just doesn't have practice every day.
Yeah.
I kind of agree with you, Case.
Right?
Because there's still some things out there. And
what did he do to you, Kathy?
No, nothing. Oh. He does what he wants, but he lives his own life now.
Yeah, he lives his own life. He doesn't have practice every day. He's not...
So he learned something.
No one's telling him what to do.
Yeah.
But that has made him... What? I don't follow.
He hasn't changed. He's still the same. He's just not a professional athlete anymore.
Why don't people who...
Like, and he's humbled by, I think the love that the city has given him.
I see. So, yeah. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, he's 44 today, so if you don't like him, don't say happy birthday to him.
Yeah, no, I still love him.
All right, let's see if we can find an answer, the answer, that was his nickname, to the question... the last Canadian team to win the Stanley Cup. 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know. Patrick, good morning, sir.
Oh, crap. Hey, bitches.
Hey, boy. Patrick.
Oh, my God, I got through.
Who's the last Canadian team to win the Stanley Cup?
Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah. Yep. Hang on a second, Patrick. What year was that, Nick?
1993, Wayne Gretzky's LA Kings. And the Canadiens 1-4. Actually, John LeClair and Mark Recchi were on that Canadiens team.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, we are going to set up Patrick with... What the hell do we have for him? Oh, yeah. We have a 4-pack of Maurice Pierce water park passes. All this week, Metro by T-Mobile is giving you the opportunity to win Casey's favorite things. And you can hurry now to your nearest Metro store and take advantage of the best deal in wireless. Only at Metro by T-Mobile. See the store for details and terms and conditions. Well, we have breaking relationship news.
Uh-oh.
There were rumors yesterday, and they were confirmed later in the day.
Breaking news. Breaking news.
Bradley Cooper and Irina Shayk called it quits.
Yeah!
After 4 years together, the Oscar-winning actor and the supermodel began dating in 2015. They welcomed their daughter, Leah Desane, in March of 2017. But now they have officially decided to end their relationship and are amicably working on how to share custody of their daughter, according to People magazine.
So last night we were at the Sequoia Deck Builders Bash, and my phone was blowing up, and it was Bradley.
Is he all right, Steve?
But we were busy.
We were busy,
and
I tried to return the calls, but he in a time of crisis, who do you call? Your best friend,
right?
And absolutely, because you know what? Listen, they're not going to sugarcoat it for you.
No. We're going to lay it out and play it out.
The news comes just hours after Irina was spotted carrying a suitcase to her limo in Los Angeles amid claims that she'd moved out of Bradley's home as their relationship hangs by a thread. These are quotes. The Russian beauty sported a simple tan jumpsuit and large sunglasses and held a serious expression. And I'm not done with the fashion yet.
Yeah.
Okay. As she made her way to a staircase to the awaiting car. Later, Irina looked ready to move on as she was spotted in a sophisticated chic ensemble making her way to a spa.
Okay.
The spa day.
Spa day.
After the breakup.
What a liberal amount of information they're providing for a breakup.
In the sophisticated ensemble.
And what did she have for breakfast?
Well, the brunette bombshell seemed to be enjoying her time, pampering herself amid the turmoil of the breakup. However, Bradley looked downcast as he was spotted.
What was he wearing?
He had a backpack. All right. He was leaving a friend's house.
This info is in there.
I know.
Which source did this come from? Does it say In Style or something?
It's a variety. So People and The Sun, and a few different ones. So
he wore loafers and shorts.
Yeah,
actually, they were Crocs.
But
a garbage bag.
So no, that was in
Silver Linings Playbook.
derelict
collection.
He had a backpack leaving a friend's house in Malibu the day before.
I think he's going to do okay.
Last week, it was reported that Irina left their $4.5 million Pacific Palisades mansion after the pair had been trying their best to make their relationship work.
Do you think there's any possibility, any traction at all to the concept that this bond that he and Lady Gaga have?
No.
You think nothing, right?
No. I think...
Not that they have a relationship, but that might have been a flashpoint for this breakup.
How many ruined relationships now have we seen our buddy Bradley go through? I think that he might be the problem.
To be honest, I think that's why he's embarrassed to make any sort of contact with us at all over the past 15 years.
Yeah. A little embarrassed. He might be, he may not be a relationship guy. And listen,
does he need to be?
And like you would expect, though, he's been with the most beautiful women in the world as he's been.
He hasn't been with me.
Going through.
You're a little too old for him. He likes him.
A rockish world.
He does like them a
little
younger. Where
did you come from?
Always waiting in the wings, sister friend.
Seriously?
Always a bridesmaid and a dude.
Sister friend. I think it's a case of the really high profile, beautiful people, and you know, it's hard for them to stay together.
They share a kid together. Obviously, if they can make it work and have an, he came in. He couldn't have been nicer. I just wish we had it because he's from here.
Yeah.
I mean, not that you owe your allegiance to the show because you're from Philadelphia.
But I think
for Christ's sake.
I think he's changed. Marissa's last interaction with him was less than, you know, it was just kind of blah. She tried to get some personality, and he was just all business. You remember that, Marissa?
He was very serious, and I think it was because he was coming into Philadelphia after the Super Bowl. He didn't want to talk all Eagles, which everybody wanted to talk to him about. And he wanted to win an Academy Award for a great movie that he did, so he wanted to take it seriously.
He was a director. He wanted to come in as...
He could have come in and we would have given him a director's conversation. You know what? He should talk to Jack White, who recently became our best friend.
Yeah, yesterday.
He should talk to M. Night Shyamalan, who is a director and comes in all the time.
And we talk movies! Yeah.
I do have some friends in other cities that talked to him and said he was a little more relaxed outside of Philly just because he wanted to keep... I think he wanted to keep it away
from I have friends in other cities.
She does.
I have friends in other suburbs.
That talked to Bradley Cooper.
Okay. I have friends in news in, like, D.C.
I have friends in news in other cities.
Yeah.
I'll stop talking about
it. No, it's all good. So, but I don't know. Bradley seems to be the, you know, I mean,
the problem.
We'll see. But listen, we hope these two, if they have a kid together, can find a way to make it work.
It's just hard for us as his dear friends to see this happen.
So this article ends with, it has been claimed that the couple's daughter was the only factor keeping them together.
Well, you know, I think a kid, even at any age, can sort of tell when, you know, Preston, I think you said with your parents, you wish they had a split almost earlier, right?
Oh, my God, yes. It would have been so much happier. Like,
and then parents, we'll stay together for the kids. The kids aren't dummies.
Yeah, no, it was... They waited until, you know, the youngest one, had moved out, and then they split up. I'm like, you guys should have done this like 5-6 years ago. It would have been so much happier. But anyhow, people have their reasons. And what was the other thing I was going to say? The Gaga thing.
Yeah.
I don't think that. Who was saying that they think there might be?
There was a general consensus among some people, and I think they were merely playing lovers.
Yeah,
and that's what they were doing.
And they're creative types. They're, you know, this is, you
but
know, that's
when
how
you're a supermodel, I'm sure you have a fragile ego.
The thing is, they looked so in love at the Academy Awards, and it's not a movie, right? I mean, they were reenacting the movie.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So,
people
saw that and they were like, wow.
I know.
They're really in love.
Those actors are acting like they're in love.
Yes.
Speaking of
I love you, Bulldozer.
Keep going.
Okay.
We'll jump right into some Bachelor information since we started to head in that direction. I'll just continue in that direction.
I love you.
Ari Leyendyke Jr. and Lauren Burnham welcomed their first child, of course, last week. We talked about that.
The baby came out of your hiney.
No.
No?
Your front hiney.
Front hiney.
All right, so Alessi Ren Lyon.
The other one's more smelly.
Is Jesus. Alessi Ren Lyon is the baby. When she went out for lunch, leaving Alessi with her mom a week later, the mom shamers descended, and Ari defended her.
I defended her.
Writing to all the negative comments regarding leaving her with grandma for a 45-minute lunch, cut her some slack.
Where's the D key?
It was my idea because that she has been working so hard to keep up, and quite frankly, I commend her for, one, being an incredible mom and getting the breastfeeding down enough to make sure that she had enough while she was at lunch.
He said this or someone else said
she
it
did.
And he nodded.
And and two, so much of being a good parent is making sure to take care of yourself. She wanted a healthy meal with her sister who was in town. So hold on. Let me back this up a second. People were actually complaining that this woman let her mother watch the baby for 45 minutes.
You know it's a fact now.
You.
At this point in time, there's nothing.
Anything.
Someone has an issue with absolutely everything.
Casey cut his goddamn grass the other day and posted a picture of it, and people...
Did you get crap for that?
...jumped all over him.
People are telling me that my deck was not level.
Shut up.
Or that my blade was...
Come on, Rick.
Cutting his grass.
Are you kidding me?
He was simply expressing the joy in mowing the lawn and doing... I know exactly what he's talking about.
Yeah.
I didn't need to judge his deck or judge the blade on his lawnmower, but people do that.
You know what's funny? We were talking about kids who love music, and I forget whose son it was. Marissa had a video of him singing on a microphone. Well, my nephew is like so into playing the guitar. I mean, he actually will perform in the living room. So I said to my brother after we had that conversation, can I post just like a little video? I'll put it on Instagram stories or whatever. He goes, no, because if one of your listeners says one thing, I'm going to find that person and kill him. I was like, okay, you got it.
But you know what? You could do it on the Instagram stories because he would never see any comments.
Yeah, right,
you know?
Right.
But I agree with you. Like, you know, like kids and stuff like that. I'm like, I would love to post this, but I can't trust that the people out there are not going to be a-holes about
it. If you see enough of it, or if you see it from time to time, you can become desensitized to it and understand that there are just idiots out there. But
if you're not used to it,
you want to strangle that person.
Right, and I understand
that. I know. But it's the compulsion.
I had the mulching blade on.
It's the compulsion to contribute. It's people, I need to find something
to say about this.
So let me think about it. And, okay, here's what I can say. And it's funny because, you know, like I posted a picture of my daughter painted, you know, the light switches in her house. There's a little panel that goes around the switches, and she decided to paint them, and she painted this really cool picture. And I posted a picture of the majority of the comments were how I didn't turn the screws so they all matched each other. I'm like, really? Oh, you're, whatever.
Didn't but even you know what?
Somebody just needed to comment.
Can't you disable comments?
I don't. No, I don't want to. Okay. I mean, it's Instagram. It, you know. So, but it's
the majority.
It didn't bother
of that.
Me, but I was like, really? That's what you pointed out, as opposed to how awesome this picture is that my daughter painted. But
just show them to us.
Whatever. So the battle over John Singleton's estate is about to get uglier. In court papers obtained by the Blast, his mother Sheila Ward, claims someone stole some stuff from his home after his death. She filed an emergency petition to be named a special administrator of his estate while she and his seven children duke it out over the details, claiming that his personal property is at risk. She says his locked office was recently breached by a third party and items were removed and distributed without authorization to a beneficiary.
That's flat-out theft.
Who believed that he was protecting the assets from other beneficiaries. She added that the unnamed party has keys to the residence and deceased boat, but refuses to turn them over to petitioner.
I'm reticent to say who I think it is, but I think it's Andy Dick.
Well, he starred in so many of his movies.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Dick in the Hood.
So they're working on figuring this out. Of course, he passed away at the age of 51 way too soon.
This does raise that Preston, about getting, you know, no matter how young you are or no matter what the case is, have some sort of working knowledge, a will so that this doesn't happen.
Yeah, but if people are stealing things, the will doesn't matter.
No, I'm saying, this conversation started with this...
Squabbling.
Yeah. And I love squabble when it's served with potatoes.
That's just squab.
Oh, sorry.
Speaking at the opening of Amazon's Mars conference in Las Vegas on Tuesday evening, Robert Downey Jr. says he's launching a new organization to clean up the planet significantly, if not entirely, in the next decade using robot technology. And this is a lot like Tony Stark addressing that MIT...
It's Ultron!
...group in... Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's pretty interesting... to see him now kind of taking on the real-life role.
He's becoming
Stark.
Yeah.
To clean the planet, we're going to have to rid it of the virus known as humans.
But in Civil War, at the beginning, he's addressing that crowd. It's kind of like this. It looks like I saw some footage of it.
But he's in 100%, and it's very interesting what he's saying.
He explained how the role of Tony Stark has boosted his knowledge of science and engineering, and he did it in a funny way. He said, by Hollywood osmosis, for the last 11 years or so, I've been steeped in the actual history of AI and space and stuff as it happened and is happening in reality. And he said, I think it's a great read. He said, I swear to God, and I'll say this right here in front of everybody, I'm willing to spend the next 11 years making good on that statement, and I'll repeat it. Between robotics and nanotechnology, we could probably clean up the planet significantly, if not entirely, within a decade. He said, it's a kumbaya pipe dream. It's a logistical cluster F. It's an impossibility. Kind of like the movies, he said.
He is Tony Stark.
So to me, that's kind of a turn on.
Yeah.
So I applaud him for his efforts.
No, I was going to ask, you know, but... It would probably end up being a political statement, so I'm going to recuse myself from what I was about to say.
Okay. Well, Downey, who is estimated to have a net worth over $80 million, said that he got the idea after having a dinner conversation with a group of experts. He vowed to plow through his Marvel movie fortune into anti-pollution projects using cutting-edge robotic technology. He said, I'm going to get actual smart people around me.
Well, you know who he's talking about? Us!
And he said, in 11 years, when I'm 65, if we've made a notable dent in what I think is a massive threat to our future, I'm going to throw the nuttiest retirement party you've ever seen, and you'll be invited. So...
It all seems good. It seems benevolent, cleaning up the planet.
God,
if he can do it.
I was thinking about him, and we say this every time there's, you know, a moment to talk about Robert Downey Jr., how far that guy has come when he was just about to be thrown on the scrap pile of has-been actors who just went through.
It was over.
You know?
He was trouble to work with. He couldn't get insured.
Yep.
And we talked about this before. Believe it or not, of all people, it was Mel Gibson who helped step in and revitalize his career.
Yep.
But then that Marvel gave him... a second, third, and fourth wind, and made him one of the wealthiest actors in Hollywood. And I like the guy Robert Downey Jr. has become.
Yeah. I want to see, I can't wait to see him branch out and do more because he's only done a few films outside of Marvel since he's taken that on. But the movie The Judge that he was
really good
was fantastic. He was so great.
One of his plans is to build a working Asgard.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, which would be incredible.
Whoa.
Like, so, like a theme park or something?
No,
or?
I mean to another dimension.
Okay.
Yeah, and right. I love that idea.
Fair enough. Robert Downey Jr. No, Robert De Niro.
Robert De Niro Jr.
got a shocker in court on Thursday.
What? That hurt.
No, not the one in the pink, two in the stink. Or no, it's the other way around.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, that would hurt even more.
Well, either way.
You put two in my stink.
He doesn't even have any pink.
He doesn't.
Oh, doesn't.
Would that be sounding?
I have a fistula.
Would that be sounding? Is that what that is?
Sounding?
No.
Docking.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
This guy comes in and tries to go docking on me.
No, it would be sounding and pegging at the same time.
Oh, wow.
So moving on. Mm-hmm. Lawyers hit him up with a $250 million bill, Page Six reports. Grace Hightower is demanding half of De Niro's estimated net worth. According to the paper, the pair married in 1997, divorced in 99, then remarried in 2004.
Wow.
Hightower's lawyer said Mr. De Niro has made $300 million since 2004 via 35 businesses and 38 movies. And apparently they want $250 million.
So a lot of his money is coming through all that Tribeca development and the, you know, the stuff he does in the city. He has apparently a fair amount of real estate.
Yeah.
Wow. That is a hit.
Yep. Let me see. Man, I got a few things to get to, and we're already running.
Go ahead, man. Live life on the edge.
Denzel Washington, who is producing the televised play Ma Rainey's Black Bottom for HBO, is set to accept the American Film Institute's Lifetime Achievement Award on June 6th.
I'm down with this.
At 64, the star, who has won 2 Oscars, 3 Golden Globes, and 1 Tony, tells a Hollywood Reporter about his true passion. He said, theater. He said, that's where I started. Actually, it was a practical thing. And this is interesting. He said, I started acting in college not because I wanted to act in movies, but because I was looking for something to major in. Huh. And I tried everything else and found that I had some ability as a performer. The first play I ever did was a musical, and I found out I couldn't sing. And then I did Eugene O'Neill's Emperor Jones, and the second drama I ever did was Othello. And he said, I wanted to be James Earl Jones and make $650 a week on Broadway. So he's going to get the Lifetime Achievement Award from the American Film Institute, which is really cool.
There's another career, man. He's in some of my favorite movies.
He's amazing.
I mean, Glory alone. Yeah. If that's all he had ever done.
Yeah. And I love The Equalizer.
Equalizer 1 and 2, so good.
Yeah.
The question here, and I've heard it bandied about recently, who wins in a fight, John Wick or The Equalizer?
John Wick is more mythical than The Equalizer, I think. I mean, their abilities are similar.
Wick's abilities are more operatic.
Yeah.
More grand.
Yes.
So they're two different styles of film, and they both have massively similar skill sets. Equalizer's obsessive-compulsive precision, though, is what makes it so cool. I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting. And then we'll do one more quick. Oh, man. No, forget it.
Ten more.
No, we got to do openings. We got to do movie openings. It's Friday. I forgot that we do the What's Happening at the Box Office over the weekend segment. So we cannot miss out on that and our favorite intro of all time. Opening this weekend, The Secret Life of Pets 2, a family animated film with a whole lot of stars in it. Patton Oswalt, Kevin Hart, Eric Stone Street, Harrison Ford, Tiffany Haddish, Lake Bell, Dana Carvey, Bobby Moynihan, Hannibal Buress, and Ellie Kemper. It's about a farm dog that tries to help Max learn the country ways when he comes to visit. Rated PG, an hour and 26 minutes, and it has a 56% score at Rotten Tomatoes so far.
I wanted to really love the first one, and I didn't, because I thought what was going to be a comical take on pets and just, you know, a little bit more rooted in reality became this bizarre, you know, plot and this intrigue and all this crap going on.
It was okay.
This one seems like it might be a little more like what I was expecting from the first one.
Right. I did like Kevin Hart's role as the crazy bunny, though.
126 minutes is not a very long movie either. And Steve, when they do running
an hour 26.
That's what I meant to say. Hour 26. Like, when they say running time, does that include the credits by any chance?
I think it does.
Yeah. So believe it or not, I think the average film time is 110 minutes.
Credits are about 10 minutes, by the way.
Yeah.
Roughly.
Wait, you don't think that's a long movie, Casey?
An hour and 26 minutes
for a kids' movie?
But listen,
this is a kid's movie.
If you're going to the movie theater and you're spending that much money on a movie ticket, you kind of want it to be a little bit longer than an hour and a half.
Sit there for an extra half hour.
I think it's plenty long for kids.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, next movie is Dark Phoenix, sci-fi adventure, directed by Simon Kinberg. Stars Sophie Turner, Michael Fassbender, James McAvoy, Jessica Chastain, Jennifer Lawrence, Nicholas Holt, Ty Sheridan, and others.
It's a hell of a cast.
Jean Grey is turned into one of the most powerful mutants after she is hit by a cosmic force, leading her to quickly spiral out of control.
The hell's happened to me?
It is right.
Why do you keep showing up?
Why are you here?
I'm no longer Caitlin. I'm Dark Phoenix.
Oh, my God.
Dark.
Bitch.
Oh, my God.
I'm a world killer. Right. I'm a world killer in size 15 pumps.
Wow.
Yeah, like, where does she get her pumps from?
They're specially made. Professor X knows a place.
She's a mutant, so they have special clothes made. So, hour and 54 minutes long, the scores are not too good on it. It's 22%.
It's horrible. No. In fact, Preston, the movie cost $200 million to make.
Yeah.
So,
I will see it. I will,
at home.
No, I'll probably go to the movies.
Really?
Yeah.
Good for you.
I'm a super duper supporter of the X-Men franchise, and I do want to see it, so I will go check that out. Not before I go see Endgame again, though.
Oh!
I haven't seen it for a second time yet, and I need to go.
Are you going to see it in super duper?
If it's still showing at a right time. Oh, you mean the 4D?
Yeah. It's not. That's the problem, no. is 4Ds.
If you pay me, I'll shake your seat.
They move on every week now, Steve. So
Steve, just sit behind me with your feet up behind my chair.
Steve, you got to...
And then a spray bottle.
And you got to lean in.
Spray bottle.
Steve, at one point, just lean and go... last week, I believe it was Godzilla. The week before that, it was Aladdin. The week before that, it was John Wick 3.
They should save a film or drop in a film that's still in release that's of a decent caliber. Because
I agree. I missed...
I would Endgame is one I was actually planning on seeing in that system.
So I'm just going to have to wait for Spider-Man Homecoming.
By the way, with Nick blowing on the microphone like that, remind me to tell you, I had a woman breathing on me the other day.
Okay, why?
Where were you?
I'll explain at some point. But
what's your name, doll?
I would forget to tell you if I didn't say anything.
I hear you on the radio.
It was.
I like the radio.
It was weird.
I used to listen to Little Orphan Annie.
Oh, I got a story for you, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Let's do story time.
Okay. Oh, later on. Nice.
Look at my Ovaltine Dakota ring says, you're getting lucky.
Look at it. Look it.
Lucky.
Let's do the clips.
Doesn't my hoo-hoo look like a Muppet?
Oh, my God.
A Muppet?
Exactly.
Fair enough. Tales of the City features Marianne, a woman returning to her family 20 years after leaving them to pursue a career. And here Ellen Page, who plays Marianne's daughter, explains why the character is relatable to her.
I guess I just really liked the journey Shauna went on, to say it, if not to be oversimplistic. And I liked that she was, you know, sarcastic and free and all these things. And to play her dynamic that was sometimes really counterintuitive.
What the f***?
What is this show?
It's
on Netflix.
Yeah, it's called Tales of the City. Now streaming on Netflix. Is she in? I'm going to go back to my Dark Phoenix.
She isn't.
I don't think she's not. No. She played Kitty Pryde in a couple of those movies.
She was in
She's in the original X-Men.
She's in the third one, but she's also in Days of Future Past.
Is she?
Yeah, she is.
She's the one that I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, she Hugh Jackman's.
Yeah, she takes Logan back in time in his mind.
So. In fact, of the subsequent films, First Class and that one are my favorites.
Yeah, they're great. Speaking of those, let's go to the next clip. X-Men Dark Phoenix features a large ensemble of mutants, each with very unique powers. And here director Simon Kinberg explains why he's excited to see these characters using their powers together.
It's not something that we've done a lot in these movies. We have almost never really seen them as a proper team, all of them working together. And so the fun of people with different powers using those powers together, you know, somebody throwing someone, that person getting hit with a lightning bolt, all of that kind of working together was great fun to write. It was great fun to direct. And just as a fan, I got, like, you know, a real thrill out of it.
Oh, yeah,
X-Men Dark Phoenix is in theaters today, as I mentioned earlier. There you go. So I got for you this morning, Entertainment Report. All right, let's take a break. And speaking of movies, by the way, we have a screening of the next Men in Black film, Men in Black International. Chris Hemsworth in this. And,
yes.
Let's get you to the screening.
Our favorite Valkyrie, too.
Yeah, Tessa Thompson.
I love her.
Yeah.
I think she's awesome. Tuesday, June 11th. So next Tuesday at 7:30 at the UA King of Prussia. Need to be there by 7 o'clock. We'll take five people, and we will give you movie passes to that screening. 215-263-WMMR. Go ahead and give us a call right now. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a moment. Don't forget, St. Basil's Academy in Jenkintown. You're the last school chosen this year for the coolest teacher of the year. Let's find out who you think that is. Text the word teacher, followed by that teacher's name, to 39333. We'll be back in a moment.
93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks, proudly supports the American Cancer Society Bike-a-thon.
Hey, it's Marcus. Join me in the fight against cancer and ride with Team WMMR in the American Cancer Society Bike-a-thon. The ride is Sunday, June 9th. This family-friendly biking event is a blast and starts off with you riding your bike over the Ben Franklin Bridge, and then we all end up together on the boardwalk in Atlantic City. There are also a few starting points in New Jersey for a shorter ride. If you don't feel like doing the full 66.6, each Team WMMR rider gets the free team t-shirt. Registration and complete details at WMMR.com. If riding isn't your thing, you can also pay it forward as a volunteer. All the details, WMMR.com.
The ACS Bike-a-thon, another way 93.3 WMMR is putting Philly first.
All right, Steve, you wanted to mention the Mutiny 2?
Yes, Mew 2. It's a clever little name, a little riff on it.
Electric Boogaloo?
Electric Boogaloo, exactly. It's the Mutiny on the Mishulu. It's June 20th from 6 to 9 p.m. It benefits Max Fun, which is my wife's charity that is takes care of homeless and feral cats in the Philadelphia and surrounding areas. Actually doing a lot of good work. So last year was the first one. It was a sellout. It was a big success. So it's all sorts of... your ticket basically gets you all sorts of complimentary spirits and beer, like from Yards and Chadsford and Stateside and Revivalist. And there's desserts from the Mixie Chicks and Saw's Ice Cream and Nothing Bun Cakes and tuck-ins and all that stuff. Plus, there's jugglers and a bubble show and there's a drag queen and there's contortionists.
Sounds raucous.
It's raucous and rip-roaring. But the cool part is you walk around and the entertainment's going on. You don't have to sit there and sit through different shows. And listen, if you can make it out, that's great. And our good friends at Arm & Hammer, who are, you know, I love their cat litter, talk about it all the time, they are sponsoring the parking. So if you come down, they'll even pick up the parking for you.
That's
so
cool.
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing. They're super nice. And I love the name of the drag queen, by the way, who plays a crazy cat woman. The name is Hasta La Vista.
Love it.
So, yeah, it should be great. So if you have the time and you're of a mind to do it, you can get your tickets online. You can go to PresidentSteve.com or go to MaxFun.com. But it's very easy. We'd love to see you out there.
Cool. And then, Kath?
And I don't often do this, but I just want to say happy birthday to Anthony Carbo of La Roma Pizza. He listens to us every single day. Today is his birthday, and his girlfriend texted me and wanted us to say happy birthday to him.
Let's do a shout out then. There you go. Thank you.
Always at the ready with the gas.
I have, since we're doing that, I have a shout out. I met somebody at the Deck Builders Bash last night. Her name was Teresa Zerbe, and she wanted to give a shout out to RJ, who is the dad of my daughter's best friend.
Really?
And they know each other. So she thought it would be hilarious if she sent a shout out to him. So there
you
go.
There you go.
Shout out for you, RJ, from Teresa.
So in your neighborhood, do you get, are you the crazy radio guy? Or are you just Preston? Or are you the guy, or are you the guy who can issue shout outs?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no idea how I'm perceived in the neighborhood. I think some people think I'm an a-hole.
Yeah,
oh,
really?
Really?
But not because you act like an a-hole. I think you're probably a considerate neighbor, right?
I try to be. I'm not as social as some people are in the neighborhood, and I think
so
that
you're an a-hole.
I'm an a-hole. I'm the a-hole neighbor. No, I'm not a jerk, but I'm less than social. So.
Well, it's also your hours are different.
I'm sorry, neighbors.
Sorry, neighbor.
Yeah, but anyhow, you know what? It's time for a new segment on the Preston and Steve Show.
Really?
It's story time.
Yay!
Let me tell you about an a-hole neighbor. Who lives in Harleysville. No. So I don't know why I just said story time, because Kathy had something to share. I have something to share.
Is this a personal story?
Yeah, Nick was joking around about the 4D, Steve, in the movie theater. You could just sit behind me and blow in my, you know, when there's a windy scene, you could just go.
Yeah.
Well, I made a mental note to tell you guys about this. Not too long ago, I went by Chick-fil-A. I was going to go get something to eat. It's going to hit the drive-thru.
They're known for chicken.
It was jam-packed. I'm like, all right, I'll run inside real quick. Right. And, of course, it's jam-packed inside, too. So it doesn't matter if I sat in my car or went inside. Yeah. Anyway, so I get in. I get in the cattle chute lineup.
Right.
And I'm standing there for a moment. And then all of a sudden, I feel what felt like to me is if you've ever been standing by a door and the door closes quickly and there's like a little draft.
A whoosh.
Hits you in your arm or something like that. And I felt that. And I thought maybe it was a door. And then felt it again.
Oh, man.
And then I felt it again. And I realized.
Where did you feel it on your body?
Like on my arm, on my left arm.
Okay.
Right here.
Like tricep.
Yeah. Okay, so I feel that. And I turn around, and there's an older woman who is standing there, essentially panting on me. I mean, just, it was like, but Steve, the breaths were like this. It was like.
So
was it labored breathing or was she angry?
Yeah. And every now and then I'd hear, oh, like that.
So she was annoyed.
I think she ran or something like that in. She was out of breath.
And breathing
on
you?
But she was pointing her breath at me. If I'm breathing laboredly, I'm probably going to turn my head away.
You breathe away.
Totally.
From the person.
You should have pulled a Bugs Bunny. You know Bugs Bunny? You know the famous scene where the gorilla's
breathing on my tail.
Yeah. Right. And just slap her in the face.
Just slap her. But I turn just to confirm that's what it was.
Yes. I would have told.
And I'm like, okay. And then I turn back around and she kept breathing on me. And I'm not like a Kathy who would freak out over something
of
like
this,
that.
All these germs bouncing off your arm.
Sometimes a turn and look
is enough.
It's enough of a message.
Yes.
Could you have turned around, taken your hand, put it over her face, and pushed her back a little bit? Would you have turned around, faced her, and just.
Maybe, but I still wanted to get my Chick-fil-A sandwich. Yeah. So
you don't want to brawl with an old woman at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah,
and people don't have a good understanding of their spatial parameters.
Yes, sometimes. What is that?
And I don't get it. The breathing. Now we all know there are people who are just wonderfully outgoing, and we know Jackie likes to come in. He's a close talker, and so on and so forth. That's great. We love Jackie Bam Bam. But there are some people just in a line that just are right up on you.
You know,
I have done it. I will do it. I start walking backwards into them.
Yeah, no, I do. And I will, even if it's a close talker, too, like I will step my right leg out so it almost like and pop my leg out. So it almost gives that barrier. Like you're going to either have to walk into my leg or stand there and talk to me.
Yeah, no.
In my yoga class, that happens a lot because it's a small room. So everybody's mats are pretty much right next to each other. And, you know, it's a pretty decent workout.
Do you have someone's head up your ass when you're doing downward dog?
No, but like sometimes I'll feel when they take a deep breath and they blow it out, I'll feel it on me. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, there are times when you're supposed to exhale a lot. And
ever so close you feel it on, like, your nuts and stuff?
No.
I don't take a class. Okay. I don't know.
No,
Kathy,
but
ever feel it on your nuts?
I have never felt it. I'm not going to say it.
Say it.
No, I'm
feeling a breeze on my balls.
No, and listen, I know we're close. I know everyone's working out, but still, every time it happens, I'm like.
I don't like that. I don't. And honestly, many people are unaware of their breath.
Yeah. Oh, as far as
this old lady, I just had gefilte fish breath.
She didn't have bad breath. So that would have been, maybe would have said something.
I'm sorry, ma'am, you have old lady breath.
If it would have been bad breath. And there's something to say about fresh breath, too. So
minty fresh?
Depending on what you do. Yes, minty fresh. So I'm getting physical therapy on my shoulder. So somebody has to manipulate my arm as I lie there. And I must say, my physical therapist had quite fresh breath the other day.
You appreciate it.
Very nice.
They chew gum, maybe?
I'm guessing since they do this for a living and they're very, very close to people, that they probably are hyper aware of breath, and I appreciated it.
It makes all the difference. There's actually something that's tangential to this, Preston. There is the footage. It's a viral video of a kid sitting on a plane. Have you seen it?
Oh, of the feet?
The feet.
Yeah, I have the story. But
there you go. But that is a violation of space.
A kid was on a plane, and the parent was taking a video of the kid. They just wanted to get their reaction as the plane was taking off.
Yeah.
But the person behind them had taken off their shoes. And I don't mind if somebody takes off their shoes, but
within their space.
Yeah, within
put their feet up on the armrest.
No.
And the kid, instead of getting a reaction of, hey, we're taking off, the kid goes, someone's stinky feet are by me.
Oh, I love
it. It's like a four-year-old kid or something
his
like
honesty.
That.
Oh, it's the best.
I know. And then I think
she heard
said
it.
Something.
The woman heard it. She apologized and removed her feet.
Yeah.
Yep.
But she put her. It's not like she just stuck her feet up on the armrest on her side. There, it's through the space of the chair in front of her on right. their armrest.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, the so kid's armrest.
I just want to... do you want to do this first?
I want to do this and then come to your story.
My story time.
Okay, okay. So because we have our coolest teacher on the line. So we'll take a break from story time and then we'll get back to it.
All right.
But our coolest teacher, we had mentioned LaSalle College, at College High School, as our school yesterday. And the winner was Mr. Jerry Miller. And he is on the line.
Yeah.
Hey. Good morning, Mr. Miller.
Morning.
Jerry. Man, Jerry, I guarantee you someone's holding a gun on him, making him call.
He might actually be, like, the coolest teacher. You know what I mean?
Maybe
like,
that's it.
Yeah. Oh, like, laid back.
Cool. Yeah. Right.
Jerry, you sound a little low-key. You're a pretty low-key guy.
No, you know, I'm getting used to this retirement thing.
Listen, okay. So we found out that you have spent 40 years at LaSalle, and this was your last year teaching, correct?
Yes, it was.
And so you are now that you've retired. Did you spend your entire teaching career at LaSalle?
Yeah. Well, no, I taught two other places before that.
Okay.
But they were part-time things.
Man, 40 years at the same learning institution. That's incredible.
This was a good ride. I'll tell you what, I did enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's wonderful. Did they throw any celebration for you or anything like that?
Well, they had a little thing in the last day where I was doing my thing of teaching, and all of a sudden kind of everything fell apart. Because all the kids lined up outside my classroom, and I had to walk this gauntlet of high school kids.
Yeah.
But that was kind of fun.
Okay. It was kind of fun.
Yeah.
You should have done a little bit more for four decades worth of service.
Well,
did you get a gold watch or something?
Well, I'm no, not really.
Wow. I mean, I'm thinking, like, did you ever see the movie Mr. Holland's Opus?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah,
did they give you that movie on Blu-ray?
No operas are coming your way.
Okay. Hey, Mr. Miller, I want to ask you a question. It's kind of advice as a parent of a son who is very smart, does really well in, like, math and science. But when it comes to things like social studies, how do I get him interested in
is
something?
Is this really you?
No. How do I get him interested in something that you know, doesn't really
speak to him,
move his needle?
Interest him.
Yeah.
Get him off the phone.
Get him off the phone.
He actually doesn't have a phone.
Then get him on the phone.
Okay.
Well, it's more like today, it's just getting the kids' difficulty to read. They got to read. It's simple.
Mm-hmm.
Really. I'd like to give you some crazy thing, but it's really not. It's if they read, they know. If they don't read, they don't know. It's pretty simple. Really.
You stick to the simplicity of it. There are certain rules. It's like there's some things you just have to do to achieve academic success. You have to study, you have to read, you have to do all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. All right. mean, it's in 40 years, trust me, the big thing that stayed consistent all the time was that.
Okay.
All right.
Remember, I started teaching and there was no cell phones.
Yeah, of course. Of course, 40
there were barely phones.
That's right.
You had to turn the crank.
That dial, you know.
Jerry, what are your plans for retirement? I mean, anything big as far as taking trips, or do you just want to slow down for a while?
Well, I'm going to slow down for a while. Then I'm going to do some traveling. I've put off for a long time being able to go, like, in the wintertime. So it'll be kind of fun to just try some different places, have me and my wife just go enjoy what's going on.
Stay active. Don't let retirement. I we were talking about this the other day for people. I know a number of people who didn't do anything in their retirement, and it just you have to stay active and stay engaged. So, uh-huh. You know, and then what I would do is plot to get back at the people who didn't throw you a retirement party.
Yeah, if you could do that.
Plot to get back. Do you think you'll substitute teach in your retirement?
I haven't ruled that out, but it's not a high priority right now.
Yeah. Casey. Okay. Casey.
Maybe I could do it.
Hire him.
Yeah. Oh, I could hire him.
Yeah, you could do it.
You thought you would be a teacher?
What? Yeah, I could certainly do it. It's just kind of like, do I want to do it?
Yeah, sure.
Well, listen.
But I think it's kind of enjoyable to just be retired, but I'm sure I'll still go back to school, and I bet you they'll call me to come in and do some help, so that's good.
Okay. All right. Well, school didn't give you anything. We're going to give you a coffee mug.
Yeah, man. Four decades finally ended up paying off.
The Preston and Steve Coolest Teacher of the Year coffee mug, and we'll also give you a $50 whatacrockmeals.com gift card on top of it. So congratulations on a wonderful career. Oh, and real quick, Marissa found a photo of a bunch of bumper stickers. Was this in your classroom?
Yeah, that was my classroom. I had about 30 years worth of bumper stickers that were hanging on my walls.
And one of them is a WMMR sticker we see.
Yes, it is.
That's awesome.
Oh, wow, neat.
Well, yeah. Thank you so much for you know, promoting the station. That's cool.
He doesn't have always the Shaka one up there.
Always right. Has.
Well, congratulations, sir, and enjoy your retirement. Mr. Jerry Miller.
Yeah.
South College High School. That's cool, man.
Sounds like he got gypped on a good retirement.
Yeah, but 40 years, man.
They should have given him Mr. Holland's Opus on a Blu-ray.
They should, at least something, yeah. Right? All right, you guys ready for another story?
Yeah, I am.
All right, story time this morning. The Preston Steve Show.
He's going to tell us her story.
First, it was a woman breathing on me.
Did you brush your teeth? Preston had some old woman with meat on her teeth.
Ew.
with chicken on her teeth.
Along the same lines, it was a little bit of a breather. I went to Nashville a few weeks ago.
They breathe in that city.
No, but we were crowded bar.
Can I break in? I forgot what movie is where a woman goes. It might have been one of the Naked Gun movies. She goes, I need a little breather. And they bring in a dwarf who's breathing heavy. All right, go ahead.
So the bars were packed in Nashville. And so we were at this one bar and I felt this breathing kind of on my ear. And I just thought, all right, somebody's kind of like leaning in close to me, so I kind of stepped away, and then there it was again, and then he spoke and he goes, I want you, girl.
Wait, listen. Was it more like, I want you, girl?
No, Steve, it was that. It was, I want you, girl. And this was my response. Ready? I went,
of course.
And my friend goes, wow, you really handled that well.
Oh, that's brilliant.
I want you, girl.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, and of course it was a black guy because only black guys hit on me. And he had...
delicious.
Yeah, no, and he ended up being a really nice guy. I was like, sorry, I screamed in your face. I was not expecting that, but...
Okay.
I just assumed you were racist.
Listen, that it probably works for that guy. If he goes around enough women and says, I want you, girl.
I want you, girl.
Wonder,
I want you.
You never know.
Yeah, he's just walking through the room. I want you, girl.
Yeah.
All right. I want you, girl.
Listen.
Right. Instead, he got me who screamed at him.
Steve, he might only get a return once a week on that.
Yeah.
But it's totally worth it.
Well, you just hit pay dirt. Man, you're a big girl. Yeah, there's lots of surprises here.
Yes.
I want you, girl.
Oh, that's my God. It was old, so funny. And
he
it was similar to that.
Let me ask you.
And it was a whisper and then, like, this breathy voice in my ear.
To that thing, years ago, there used to be that old saying, you know, but yeah, and in fact, you know, breathe in my ear or blow in my ear and I'll follow you in it. Blowing in the ear used to be a thing, like a...
It's stupid.
I never got that.
No.
Is anyone turned on by someone blowing in their ear? It's like, stop that.
Yeah. Stop doing that.
Yeah. Kathy, has a line in a bar ever worked on you?
We're going to Target.
Yeah, I have a Target credit card.
I have a Target. I have a Target Platinum card.
I know. I have unlimited credit.
Coupon. Coupon is the app.
Nick, I don't know. It's been
I don't
so long.
Like sex either.
I don't really know.
I just
shut up.
I don't know if lines work ever on anybody. You know,
I think
I have a gun.
No, like if it was like a funny line and it was not serious. Do you know what I mean? Like they said it almost as a joke.
Do you have an example? Do you have an example of a line at least brought you to the point of conversation?
Well, like if that guy started laughing with me, then it would have been funny. And, you know, if I was single, then maybe like, hey.
All right, come back to my hotel.
No, like we would have ended up chatting more. Like we laughed because I scared the crap out of him because I yelled. But you know what I mean? But he was serious, whispering in my ear like that.
I'm sure that really, he's being serious. He's putting the moves on and she laughs in his face.
Pretty much.
Nick, I've never actually had a line that worked at a bar with a girl. However,
with a guy one time.
Guys are so easy to. No, man.
I bet you're really, like a horse.
Yeah. No, there was a club. I don't even know if it's on off of South Street anymore, but it was called Fluid. And I was there with friends. And
Bodily Fluid?
No, it was just called Fluid. Okay. And it was a cool little bar. And I was there for the first time ever. And I don't know what I said to this bartender. It was a female.
Yeah.
But she turned around. She got me my drink. And she goes, hey, you know, it's on the house. And she walked away. And I was like, well, that was pretty cool. And, like, I don't know what I said. I was just, you know,
Was it flirty?
I don't know. Probably not, because I don't know. But
did she spit in your drink?
No, but my friend who goes to that club all the time, he goes, dude, what did you say to her? He's like, I've been coming here for like every Friday for, you know, like 5 years.
Maybe she just liked you.
Who knows? I have no idea. But I was like, Well, and it made me feel so much better about getting that free drink, because I didn't ask for a free drink. She just turned around and
did
gave
you pursue it,
to
you. Did you say, hey, I was a member of the Running Away Club.
Hey, do you know?
You collect pine cones.
Wait a minute.
So I know how to feed deer pretzels.
Did you speak with her after she gave you that free drink? She said you gave her the drink. She walked away.
That was a big drinking time
it was
for
a fuzzy,
me.
Fuzzy, fuzzy
hey, that was a you know what? You're all right.
Yeah.
I don't really recall the rest of the night because that was early on.
Well, by the time she came back, you had olives in your nose.
Look at this. It looks like snot.
Give me oh, green olives.
Steve, the look on your face.
It looks like snot.
Oh, my God.
Ooh, this guy's got it going on.
And the plantos look like blood.
I got a picture sent to me yesterday from, you guys remember Rovine with the giant eyebrows?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
He goes, this just showed up on my timeline. My nostrils are so huge, I guarantee you I could fit olives in there.
Well,
no problem.
Can you deliver on that bet this morning?
Well, yeah, do we have olives anywhere? We got olives out there!
We used to have an olive dispenser.
But now with the construction, I don't know where those are.
Grapes will work, too. We have the Elmwood Park Zoo here with the Capitol Grill and Bluebell Inn. There's food out in the,
there's gotta be grapes.
In the green room. There's either going to be
grapes. Could you do the same thing with prime rib?
Grapes or olives?
What about lobster rolls? Okay, dude. They have giant shrimp. I could definitely fit the shrimp in my nose.
No, listen. If you've ever had a long night with
that would look pretty great with the tails turned upward, though, curling up
shrimp
out of your nose. Marissa?
Shrimp or asparagus? We are our options.
Shrimp's thicker.
You can't push them in too far, though. You'll puncture your brain.
You're right.
Jumbo shrimp, too.
They're gigantic. Give me two shrimp. I'll show you.
We're on it.
Are we really going to do
this?
Yeah, we are really going to do this.
Story time.
Yes.
It is. That's how the space program started. Right. Are we really going to do this? Yeah. Are we really going to go to the moon? All right, here's our two options. Armstrong will put shrimp in his nose, and we'll go to the moon.
The next story time might lead with, there was this one time that Casey shoved shrimp up his nose. And he wasn't the same ever after that.
Well, you know, you've been having stories in the Bizarre File lately of people taking dares or doing things that you normally would think would be sort of fraddish.
Like eating a slug.
Eating a slug and dying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my God. There's no way on God's green earth that you would be able to shove those in
your
nose.
You don't think so, Steve? Look at the size of these things.
I have learned in the time that I've known Casey to never doubt him, argue against what his capabilities are.
You got people in the green room looking through the glass because they want to see this.
Are you going in tail first or are you going
No. Come on, man.
That's
this is
for
American
pussies.
Jack.
Now, plus, I want to see the tails sticking out, curling upward. It's almost like you'll have a Loki helmet coming out of your nose.
All right, I'm going to eat these, by the way. I'm not going to waste these. Okay, I mean, I'll cut off the part that was in my nose.
Okay, please.
Yeah.
I think you can do one, no problem. I think two is going to be a challenge.
You think so?
Yeah. Right.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's just gross.
Disgusting. Oh, wait. Yeah, you're probably right. I don't know if I can get that in there.
No, I think you can do it.
Take your hat off.
Okay. Take your hat off will allow you to jam shrimp up your nose?
Yeah, it's hitting the hat.
It's hitting his hat. The tail is.
Yeah,
okay. All of our in-studio guests are standing up now so that they can see Casey behind.
You know what? I don't know. Definitely olives, though, Steve.
No, there's no way.
No.
There's no way.
Nope. Hang on a second.
All right.
I'm not giving up.
Oh, wait. He's going tail first. You remove the tail.
Yeah.
That's easy.
That's cheating, dude. I know. I get it, Preston, but still.
Dude,
it looks kind of
he's going to smell shrimp for the rest of the day.
Oh, my God. I'm so fucking
apart.
Did you
see yourself?
I've seen a lot of stupid things on this
show. Yeah, yep.
And let me ask you, that bartender didn't give you her number?
Casey, I love you to death.
But that was
a moron.
All right.
Can you smell it?
Yeah, take a big sniff.
I can totally smell it. Oh, it smells so good.
Smells like Rush Week.
Ew.
Olives. Oh, I think the original plan was for olives.
Right, yeah, let's get serious.
It's ridiculous here that you would put shrimp up your nose when they're perfectly good olives ready up your nose.
In Manja, they have some Kalamata olives down there. They have the pits in them.
Do they still have those honeydews?
Oh, my God. No, but they have cassavas. We can use those if we need to. All right, well, anyhow.
Just ask me a little bit later on if I'm still smelling shrimp, because right now I might get nose blind.
Well, let me tell you something. I think you do so much nose picking that you'll get all the residue out eventually.
Yes. This is true. I have, I'm trying to figure out how we got here.
Well, we did story time, and then there was something else you wanted to go to after story time.
Yeah, but we don't have time because it's 7:47.
So all of our stories time got rid of our ability to tell stories?
Yeah, I believe so. I was reading a phone call to see if we had time to go to one, but we're not going to be able to do
that. What's that music called that you play for
story
time?
It's from Days of Heaven. It is one of my favorite movies. It's with Richard Gere.
Kiss.
Beautiful.
I thought this was from Harry Potter.
No.
It's not Harry Potter, although it's Harry Potter-ish.
It might be a classical piece, but so The Simpsons have used it a number of times.
It's called Carnival of the Animals.
Yes, it's a wonderful carnival.
Aquarium.
Carnival of the Animals Aquarium is what it is labeled as, so I don't
know.
The
Age of Aquarium.
Yeah, but we're calling it the
Camille
Storytime Music.
Camille Saint-Saëns.
And see if it is the first time, or I thought it was originally from the soundtrack to the movie. It is from Days of Heaven.
I'm sure it's been in a ton of.
It was in Expendables 2.
I don't think it was in that.
Look in references, Nick, at the bottom. It might.
Wait.
I know everybody's biting at the bit to know.
Listen, I'm trying to do a little culture here after we ram shrimp up our nose.
I don't know.
Well, I'm right.
Okay, Steve's right.
I am right.
Yeah. He's right.
It's a great movie.
All right. This has been Story Time, ladies and gentlemen.
All right.
We're going to wrap up Story Time with a giveaway. Like I said, Elmwood Park Zoo is here. They're promoting Beast of a Feast.
You know, that's sort of like Carnival of the Animals.
Yeah. You know what? You're correct, Steve.
That's exact. So, in a way, you did a perfect segue.
Thank you. It is June 20th. Sorry. I have a bone spur.
I got a little bit of the rheumatoid arthritis.
In my elbow, and I hit it.
Your shrimp hurt me.
Ow. Somebody get him some blue emu.
And it don't stink.
It don't stink.
I drive for NASCAR.
June 20th is when the Beast of a Feast is coming up, 6 to 10 p.m.
We love Elmwood Park.
Features unlimited tastings from 30-plus restaurants, an open bar with samples from over a dozen breweries, and cocktails from Tito's Vodka.
Ooh.
Marissa loves Tito's. And they brought in food from the Capitol Grill and Blue Bell Inn as well, two wonderful restaurants. I've got passes for the Beast of a Feast. We'll take caller number 19 at 215-263-WMMR, and I will give you a pair of those tickets. Once again, it's coming up on June 20th, 6 to 10 p.m.
Awesome.
We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second. We'll get to the Bizarre File. Joining us in the studio, comedian and actor Jimmy O. Yang will be here. Excited to meet him. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Wait, turn up the sound.
Now. 93.3 now. WMMR. Now. Everything that rocks.
Nick, first Friday, you wanted to mention that.
I did.
Phoenixville.
Thanks, Preston. It's tonight, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. I do a lot of these every year. There's so much fun. We're going to have good weather tonight. It's 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. right at the corner of Bridge and Main. You can't miss us. The MMR 10 is set up. There's always live music going on. And Phoenixville just opens up their doors. All the bars, all the restaurants, all the shops. A lot of the shops actually offer up free booze. So if you go in and do a little shopping, they'll give you a glass of wine or a glass of champagne.
You could have a home run tonight.
It's going to be
beautiful.
It's a great time. So stop by if you can. We'd love to see you. And thanks to our friends at Piazza Subaru who sponsor us being out there. But that's 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. corner of Bridge and Main in Phoenixville tonight.
Cool. All right. Let's do the B-File.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, we're going to begin with the story of a boat trip.
Yay!
Passengers say their charter boat captain went on a drunken, drug-infused tirade and threatened to shoot everyone on his boat.
Sounds like a blast.
This was during a fishing trip.
Oh,
it should have been a...
Everybody having a good time?
It should have been a 12-hour fishing excursion Sunday in the Gulf of Mexico. Now, police say passengers aboard the boat told them that Captain Mark Bailey drank rum from the bottle, had multiple beers, got high on cocaine.
Wow.
And ended up in an argument with a 15-year-old passenger who reportedly tried to grab his uncle a drink from the captain's pail.
What's your name, you little prick?
Passenger Christopher Jeffrey said it was like a movie. Unbelievable. He was on board with his dad. Jeffrey says Bailey ripped a chain off of fellow passenger Jason Rialmo's neck for trying to grab a beer for his uncle. He said, at first I thought he was just playing. But then I realized he was serious, and
he
was like,
play strangling.
And I was like, you can't do that. The passengers claim that Bailey fired a gun more than once while the vessel was 30 to 40 miles offshore.
Wow.
The vessel drove in circles, and they called for help because they were in fear for their lives, thinking that they wouldn't get home.
Ah, calm down, you pussies.
The passengers claim Bailey made a racist comment suggesting he wanted to help kill the N-words.
Fishing great?
They also say Bailey suggested popping bullets in each of the people on board and dumping their bodies overboard.
How much were these tickets?
I don't know. He said, I tried not to panic because you could see the panic in everybody. This is another passenger, Carlo Lepaparo.
On the plus side, everyone got a box lunch.
Here's the deal. He booked the charter, and he says he's done the excursion with this same captain several times and never had an issue. Yeah.
So possibly a bad day for this captain.
When the boat finally returned, it made its way back to Sarasota Bay. Once at the dock, police say Bailey refused a breathalyzer test and field sobriety test.
Is it possible this was the day after the last episode of Game of Thrones?
It could have been. No, I don't think it was. Authorities say Bailey kicked the rear door of a police cruiser while he was handcuffed inside. So he was taken to the county jail where he was charged with boating under the influence and resisting without violence. So this dude just went off the deep end.
So if you're that far out, you can discharge the firearm because you're in international waters at that point. But it sounds like he needs a lot of help.
Yeah. A hungry alligator crashed a picnic date by a Florida lake and ended up gobbling down an entire bowl of guacamole.
I love guacamole.
Taylor Forte had planned a picnic Thursday for her fiancé, Trevor Walters, at Lake Alice before Walters was to leave for the Marines.
This is excellent guacamole.
Walters said that they were shocked and ran away from the blanket when the animal sprinted onto the beach. She said he annihilated an entire block of cheese, gobbled it down, lickety-split. The salami didn't stand a chance. And the worst part is we had a big bowl of guac made, and he ate the whole bowl. He put the whole bowl in his mouth
the
and ate it.
The whole freaking bowl.
The man wanted to scare the gator away, so he made himself look bigger, spreading his arms out, making noise, and the gator crawled back into the water. They said it's unusual for alligators to become so comfortable around humans that they fearlessly approach them. Unfortunately, it sounds like this gator has been fed previously and has lost its weariness of people.
Do they eat guacamole in the wild?
Maybe they do.
Okay.
I don't know, Steve. Well, you know those natural guacamole pools.
The guacamole pools, the legendary of the Everglades.
Yeah. A woman who thought that she had a brain tumor was relieved to discover that the lump was, in fact, a parasitic worm.
Oh, my God.
Rachel Palma knew that something was up when she started acting out of character. She would forget words. When she tried to call her dead relatives as well. So these things were happening.
Complaving.
The 42-year-old from Middletown, New York, also suffered horrific nightmares, hallucinations, couldn't sleep. When she tried to use her right hand, she would suddenly drop things. She said, my episodes were getting more and more bizarre. There were days that I didn't know where I was. But for a few trips to the emergency room, doctors performed an MRI. And it showed that there was a marble-sized lesion on the left hemisphere of her brain, which is the dominant side of most right-handed people and controls language and speech. She and her husband were both in shock by the diagnosis. She said, I never really allowed myself to think that it was cancer. Well, in the fall of 2018, surgeons operated on Palma, but were surprised to find that what they thought would be a soft tumor was, in fact, a firm ball. It resembled a quail egg. When they cut it open, they found a baby tapeworm inside. Oh.
So how did the quail get in her head?
It wasn't a quail egg.
Oh.
Dr. Rizzulli, the chief neurosurgery resident, said, we were overjoyed. We were cheering and clapping. We were so happy when we got in there and saw that it was a tapeworm. We were like, yes.
Yeah, tapeworm.
He said it was one of those rare situations where you see a parasite and you're like, wow, this is great.
Do you know anyone who's ever had a tapeworm?
No. Huh?
I did. And the guy started to lose weight. He's a friend of mine in college. Started to lose weight. Found out it was a tapeworm and had been in there for a while.
Palma's diagnosis changed from a malignant brain tumor to a neurocysticercosis, which occurs when the pork tapeworm infects the central nervous system. It spread when an individual eats undercooked pork or other infected foods, drinks water containing tapeworm eggs, or because of poor hygiene. So it actually, you know, a brain tumor would have been much worse than
much
that.
Worse.
So they were excited.
I eat undercooked pork all the time.
She had a parasite in her head, in her brain.
Jesus.
One last story and a cautionary tale. A young woman died in Northern California after she lost her footing while taking photos at Eagle Falls near Lake Tahoe. The woman was taking photos at the falls in Emerald Bay on the west side of the lake. She lost her footing and went over.
I went there last year.
Is it pretty big?
It is, and there's a viewer platform, and people try to get on the other side of it like idiots, and that's how you can fall.
Was this a selfie?
Yeah, I believe so. Recovery crews were able to locate her and recover her body quickly, given the powerful conditions of the falls. Now, I don't know what had killed her, Nick, because, well, listen to this quote. The area had a record winter, and the official said, our waterfalls and rivers are running at treacherous levels as a result. The temperature of the water is so cold, it is not survivable for long.
Yeah, that part of the state and a lot of California had been through such droughts over the last few years that the winter that they had has all but eliminated the drought in that part of California. But as a result, the waterfalls are running at a really high rate.
And apparently the water's very, very cold.
It's freezing. How far was the fall, Preston?
They didn't say.
Okay.
So I don't know if it was the water, if it was the temperature of the water, the fall, or what had killed her, but nonetheless.
You can walk to those falls right from the road. It's a really easy hike, and so as a consequence, a lot of people do, but they don't take it seriously.
The Fire Protection District urged the public to use extra caution while they are taking pictures. All right, and there you go. That's what I have for you in the Bizarre File for now. I have one last one of these to give away, and I'm going to do it right now to caller number 15. I have the Father's Day Steak Fix gift package from Omaha Steaks.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll take caller number 15, like I said, 215-263-WMMR. It's loaded with stuff. Tender filet mignons, top sirloin, pork chops, steak burgers, gourmet jumbo franks, crispy chicken fried steaks, all this stuff.
It's a lot of stuff.
You can give Dad a gift package from the Omaha Steaks or crew that he craves. You just go to omahasteaks.com and enter the code Preston, my name, in the search bar, and you get 74% off the Father's Day Steak Fix gift package now for only $59.99. So caller 15, man, giving you one for free. 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. We're going to take a break. Come back in a moment. Jimmy O. Yang will be here in a little while, performing at Helium Comedy Club and more. Stay with us.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them too. Check out The Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We have a late edition shard out here. Casey wants to fire one
all
out.
All right. If you don't mind. It's just a congratulations shard out to my brother, my older brother, Foz, and his daughter, Rachel, who's in eighth grade at St. Dot's. Their team just won the Archdiocesan Championship softball game yesterday.
Oh, that's
and
great.
So they actually beat our team in, like, our regional championship game. And it was a really, really great game. And they got a great team. But yesterday, they won the whole Archdiocese championship. So congrats to Rachel, Foz, and all of St. Dot's varsity girls softball team.
There you go. Mm-hmm. We got a couple minutes here. I want to bring up something, and if we spend a little bit of time in that move on, then I have some city beat. We're going to walk the city beat again.
All right. Okay.
But first, Nick's been waiting to talk about this for a little while. He had teased us a little while back. Apparently, his dad had a bit of an adventure.
Oh.
Not that long ago.
Oh, that's right.
I saw a
one that he was keeping from his mom, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
One that he hid from his own wife. But I saw you post. I didn't read it, Nick, so I know what he did, but I don't know the extent of it. How old is your dad, by the way?
72, and okay. I forgot to wish him a happy birthday on the air the other day, so I apologize. Happy birthday, Dad. He just turned 72 this week. We had a really nice dinner on Tuesday night. The night of his birthday, and
may I guess what it is? Because I know he had to keep it from your mom.
Yeah,
was it a hooker?
It was not. Well, you know what? I don't know for sure.
You don't know.
I wasn't there, and
something a little bit more athletic.
He may have kept that for me as well too.
That's when the whores.
One time I visited.
One time it was in Saigon.
Listen. It's not anything epic or incredible, but for a 72-year-old cancer survivor, I thought it was really cool. And he, three-time cancer survivor, by the way, went paragliding, and he was really nervous to do so. He found this place in Glenwood Springs, Colorado, and he went up with this guy. It lasted like 15, 20 minutes, 25 minutes. They cruised around this valley. The cool thing about this place is that they create a video of it for you. So he got that to me, got me the raw video. Nick Murphy helped me edit it down and cut it down to about 5 minutes.
Was it a parachute or like a fixed wing?
It's a fixed, there's no motor.
Paraglide.
Paraglide.
Yeah. Oh!
So you do the thing where you literally jump off a cliff.
Yeah.
And it's almost like a tandem skydiving thing where you have the guy who's helping you and guiding you and holding and controlling the parachute.
They look for these things called thermals.
Right.
Where the warm air rises and they hit these and you can just take off way up into the sky.
So when my wife and I were in Switzerland, they had a place right near the hotel that was doing it. They had a super high cliff and they would stay up on, I guess, on these thermals, Nick, for quite a while. It was wild to see that.
Well, that's the thing, Steve. Like, so the cliff isn't that high up. I mean, when you look at it, it's above this valley. It's above the town of Glenwood Springs. But it's not like you're looking from the top of Mount Everest down. But it's pretty high up, but the ride itself lasted. Like I said, it was about 25 minutes.
So when he landed in Anchorage,
right? But he's able to stay up for that long because of the thermals, and then they came down into like a field area, football field or baseball field or something like that, and then that was the end of the adventure.
This has always looked really cool and serene and fun, and I don't think I'd ever do it though.
Though no? You've done
not this.
You've
one.
Done.
I've skydiving. I've done skydiving a couple of
You'd
times.
You'd also never do that again. You said.
I'm not going to do that.
What
again.
About a hooker?
Well, I'm open.
Okay.
Suggestions.
Looks a little less dangerous depending on the medical history.
But I don't know why this has always kind of freaked me out just a little bit.
You're getting a little like me.
I am.
No, nobody's like me.
Nick, how was his landing?
It was soft and gentle, Kathy. it was into a plate of glass.
Soft, and, gentle, and moist.
Yeah, they found a greenhouse, and they went crashing into that. No, it was in the middle of a field. It was really easy. The guy that has, that was his guide has done it thousands of times, yeah. And so it was an easy landing. But I found it pretty funny that he kept it from my mom until the morning of.
Oh, of course.
Would she have vehemently protested?
She would have been very nervous, and I think that he was just trying to save her some angst.
So okay. wait, he did tell her before, though, the morning of?
When they went there. I mean, they planned this
trip. I just know it's a hooker.
They planned this trip to Glenwood Springs together. They took a train from Denver to Glenwood Springs. They spend about half the year in Colorado. And so they took a train trip together. There was like a sightseeing tourist type of a train out of Denver up to Glenwood Springs, which is, there are hot springs there. So this was a little getaway for them for the weekend. Uh-huh. And then the morning that he went out and did it, he told her what he was going to do. But he told me and my brothers, you are not allowed to tell your mother what this is.
Wow. So did she watch him?
No. She stayed in the hotel because she did not want to see it.
Oh, wow.
My mom is terrified of heights. And so
that certainly would not be something she'd be into.
She's
then,
not good about this type of thing. But he went out. It was, you know, daybreak and did it and came back. And she was enjoying some time at the hotel.
Steve, years and years ago, when we were at Y100, Steve and I took a hot air balloon flight for a company that was advertising. And
I wanted to propose.
I know. Yeah. You know, but we always I always wanted to do that. And so we get in the basket, everything's is really exciting, and then they crank on the heat, the thing starts taking off. Steve, we shot up to 1,000 feet like that.
Quick.
Yeah.
And I remember hanging on to the sides of that thing. It scared the bejesus out of me. It lasted for a little while, and then
you level off.
You level
Once
off.
Once you're done,
yeah.
You get up off the floor, you're done crying.
No.
And you feel great.
It took a little while, and then because the basket is wicker, okay? And it creaks and it makes noises and all that.
The thing I keep my keys in is wicker.
And even though, you know, it's above your waist, it feels like you could just, I'll just topple right over and fall out of this thing. And it took a while, but at first it freaked me out, and then
it was amazing.
And then it was incredible.
Because they came down lower too, and they did the contour flying over the tree. Which was wonderful. We did the same thing. You know, my wife and I were in one of the larger baskets where there's like 8 people.
Okay,
and you're in sort of like your own little compartment.
Oh,
so like you're almost like eggs in a carton.
Looks like maybe this one, Steve.
Yes, yeah, okay. And a little bit smaller, but about that size, Preston. And wow. Again, it goes up really high initially, and there's just something about that. But
yeah.
I think with the, you know, with this thing, it looked like your dad had sort of a gradual, it wasn't an austere cliffside, it was a gradual hill, correct?
Right, but you need enough of a cliff so that you're not, you know, you're cruising.
I'm just running into town.
Yeah, yeah.
Whee! You're basically flying a kite.
Hitting some rocks on the way off. Yeah. I guess it's,
sort of a combination in between skydiving and...
pissing off your mother.
Parasailing or something along those lines.
Or hang gliding.
Or hang gliding, yeah.
Yeah, it's a combination.
Would you ever, in your wildest, wildest dreams... do that that wingsuit?
No.
I mean,
looks awesome, but no.
These guys look as if they're committing suicide. They jump off with what appears to be a slightly blousy, jumpsuit.
Yeah.
I mean, we're showing footage here right now.
By the way, Steve, a lot of cool video games now use the wingsuit.
I know. And I use it all the time.
That is enough for me.
I'll be Spider-Man in a video game, but not this. Not for real.
You know, one thing I've always wanted to try is the toe gliding thing where a prop plane will
You're hanging by your toe.
No! The prop plane takes you up into the air and pulls a glider behind it and then lets go. And then, you can just cruise around on that for a while.
Someone who knows how to... A good pilot can really give you a good ride.
Yeah, those things can stay up for quite a while. They have such huge wingspans
on them. And it's incredibly quiet, right? Yes. You're just hearing the wind rushing and you're screaming.
Didn't John Denver died in a glider accident?
No, he built his own plane.
Oh, okay.
And I would never want to be in anything that I built was any form of that had any altitude to it.
No.
But he had actually done it. He had purchased a kit. Do you remember this? And I think it was one of those planes where the propeller was in the back.
Okay. Yeah,
I mean, I think he forgot to put wings on it,
He forgot to put the wings and just, And he said that he left them in the box.
Getting something.
Yeah. But it was odd, though, because he did achieve a Rocky Mountain high.
But I did see a story actually yesterday. I didn't include it in the bizarre file, but a glider crashed into a house.
That's
pretty funny. What do you mean that's pretty funny? No, I wouldn't mind going for a ride in a glider. That'd be kind of cool.
No
sound and just, it would feel very... Yeah.
Just me going...
Steve sitting behind me, breathing on me once again.
Blowing in your ear.
I just went to Chick-fil-A.
Anyway, that's cool that your dad had that that little adventure.
Did you see the footage, Preston, yesterday of the gentleman who had actually been in the one of the paratroopers during D-Day, prior to D-Day?
Yeah.
Took the jump, 97 years old.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Tandem jump.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Does your dad have anything else on his bucket list a la this that he
does.
Wants to do? All right.
He has a few things.
Can you say them?
Not on air yet.
A Kodiak bear?
No, my mom, I'm sure, is listening again.
Hookers.
Yeah, hookers.
You know what? That hooker thing sounded pretty good, right?
Hawaiian hookers. Yeah. No,
hooker on a cliff.
My parents continue to find new ways to be in love and be married and find adventures like this, and it makes me happy. And I was really proud of him, happy for him, and he did a cool thing. So
all those years ago when she served him meatballs with the raisins.
Steve, he doesn't get those.
He doesn't like them?
My mom makes separate meatballs.
Her specialty?
My dad is a picky eater.
I've had your mother's raisin meatballs, and they're excellent.
And she appreciates the fact that you like them. But when my mom makes pasta, my dad gets separate meatballs and his own ravioli.
Wow.
My brothers and I would get the spaghetti and the meatballs with the raisins in them.
I don't think he really loves her.
My little brother
raisins
always got...
are love.
My wife makes cordon bleus.
Yeah.
And she loves her cordon bleus. I'm not a fan of her cordon bleus.
Oh, wow.
And yet we've managed to work through it. Yeah.
No, it's just my little brother always got his special meatballs. My mom would stick a toothpick in it because my mom always made meatballs with green peppers and onions, and he didn't care for those, so he always got his own.
Okay, so
it's tough being a mother.
Separate. Yeah, it is. Nick, I have this guy named Jason online wants to mention something to you here. Hi, Jason, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, what's up, buddy?
Well, I heard Nick wants to ride in a glider, and I'd like to offer him a ride if he'd come out sometime.
Are you a pilot or just a guy on the... No, I'd love to. That'd be amazing. Can you email me with some of the details?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, where do you fly out of, Jason?
Philadelphia Glider Council. We're in Hilltown Township near Champaught, not far from Sequoia Outback, actually.
The Philadelphia Glider Council?
Philadelphia Glider Council.
Oh.
GGC.
I did not know that there is a group of glider enthusiasts in this area. How long have you been a part of this group?
Oh, boy. 7-8 years now, I guess.
Wow. And do you rent or own your own glider, or how does that work?
Yeah, so it's a club. So members, basically, collectively, we own the gliders, and it's all volunteer, so it keeps the cost down.
All right.
We have training for free for members, and we love to fly gliders.
Jason, what's so much more enjoyable about a powerless flight than a regular aircraft?
Well, it's quiet, for one thing, and you feel like you're a bird. On a good day, you find thermals, and you can fly for 4 or 5 hours.
Wow. And what, they're raisins?
What area do you do it?
Anywhere outside of, we avoid downtown Philadelphia because the FAA doesn't like us down there, but anywhere up over Bucks County, fly out all the way north of Allentown on a good day.
Could you imagine taking a whisper quiet flight over Sequoia Outback? That'd be so incredible. Seeing all the decking supplies.
Right over Route 309 there all the time.
Well, no, hey, kidding. How high up do you get before you lose the tether?
We usually release from the tow plane at 2,500 to 3,000 feet above the ground.
Let me ask you as well, Jason, do you have to pretty much be a full-blown pilot to do this? Or is there a separate level of instruction or ability that you achieve?
Yeah, you have to have a glider's license, which is easier than a regular pilot's license. And kids can even do this as young as 14 years old. They can solo and get their license at 16.
Oh, God, I'd love to go up with like a 13-year-old as the pilot.
So you could
I've done it. It's fun.
So you could be a glider pilot and not have a regular pilot's license, a powered pilot's license.
That's right. Many of our members, in fact, are that way.
Wow. Okay. Did not know that.
Preston.
I may, maybe I'll take you up on that too, Jason, if you've...
he didn't offer you.
No.
Come out any time. We'd love to show you guys.
He only offered Nick. Oh, is this a general offer?
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll bring meatballs with raisins in.
Meatballs?
Yeah, since apparently Nick's father doesn't eat them.
Yeah, we'll just take
probably
those leftovers.
A whole bucket at the house uneaten.
Jason.
The one thing we don't have is we don't have hookers. I'm sorry.
They make a lot of noise, and you don't want to hear their grunting and groaning over the wind.
No, not over Sequoia Outback. Yeah. Jason, email Nick at WMMR.com, okay?
I will. Great talking to you guys.
Thank you, Jason.
That's always, there was a movie years ago called The Thomas Crown Affair with Steve McQueen, and they remade it, and there's a whole glider sequence in it, and that's where that whole notion, I agree. It looks, because also the fact that when you land, you're going right down on the grass. I mean, the vehicle is, you know, there's no really landing gear. Yeah, it's really low.
Yeah, nah.
You don't like that?
No. Nope. I watched that video. I was like, oh, hell no.
A lot of people don't know Kathy was a fighter pilot.
What's the most
in Grenada?
What's the most adventurous thing?
Nothing. I walk every day.
Zip line?
Ride a horse?
Arriving at Target before it's open.
Yeah.
Have you ever done
No, getting like through Target in like less than a half an hour. Whew.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
Sweating bullets.
Casey, have you ever done a zip line?
No.
Would you ever?
What if you walked?
Maybe the one at the Elmwood Park Zoo.
Didn't you do a trapeze one time?
Nope, that was Marissa.
How about rappelling?
No.
Have you ever been rappelled?
No.
Nope.
How about a ropes course?
No.
How about Latin dancing?
Yes, yeah, that I'll do.
What about rock climbing?
No.
Have you ever ridden a horse?
I used to, yes, I used to ride horses when
How about
I was
wreck
a kid.
Diving?
Okay.
I used to show them, actually. What?
Wreck diving?
Yeah, scuba diving.
Oh, no.
But I mean in no. submerged ships.
Yeah, but you go in ships.
No,
and
no.
Snorkeling. Like
that. No. Yeah. Snorkeling, yeah.
Snorkeling.
You can come to the top and breathe.
Yeah.
Well, you know, listen.
Keep going.
Know,
this is fun.
Life is too short to not do,
to not do anything.
Yeah.
Alligator wrestling.
No, my cousin does that.
What about Wave Runner? Have you ever done?
Yes, that I'll do.
Okay. What? In your life, you know, there are times you say, I really should just try this. And there's been a number of times where you try and I shouldn't have done this.
Yeah.
And I know because you actually, when you did skydiving the first time, you said, how did I feel about that?
It was so scary. But I had kind of done a check on myself and gone, you know what? Maybe it was just sensory overload. Maybe
right.
It was so much noise and wind and it was cold and it was just all these things. And I didn't,
maybe I loved it.
I didn't take in the beauty of what it is. Let me do it again. No, just as scary the second time. So I confirmed it.
Right. And now you know.
I did that indoor skydiving. I didn't even like that.
You didn't like iFly?
Oh, my God. Really. That's awesome.
I love it.
Yeah.
Especially with a hooker.
Scary.
So you know what? No.
Oh, yeah.
I need to come up with some other things.
You did ride a penny farthing once.
What? Oh, yeah.
Penny farthing.
Yeah, that was cool.
Bicycle with a giant front wheel.
An old turn of the century bicycle.
Cool.
Yeah.
That wouldn't have killed me if I fell off it.
Oh, yeah, it absolutely would have.
Yes, yeah, huh?
Yeah. No. You've ridden the Segway. We've seen that before.
Yeah.
I love going on roller coasters with you as a blast because you're so scared.
Like, that's the thing. It's with age. You just get, I just get more nervous with age. I used to love roller coasters as a kid, and now
Now
it's really stressful for me to go on a roller coaster. Uh-huh.
Besides, you impress me as the kind of person who is like 70 when they were 15. Like, you they're just things, you know. But I think your mom always...
No, as a kid, I was a normal kid.
You're more
kid.
Adventurous?
I would do all of these things. But then I became my mother, and I just get nervous with everything.
We're watching video of me riding a penny farthing.
It's great. And you sang a great song.
I'm riding a penny farthing. I made a...
Kathy,
I think that I rode the small one. I don't think I rode the big one.
Yeah, you were half a penny farther.
Yeah. Kathy, I will still ride roller coasters, but I do get a little bit nervous about, I don't like.
Because you don't know where you're going.
Well, I know I do. I just don't like the idea of power harnesses. I'd rather have like a
buckle in.
Well, like I want to have can we just have both? Can we have a buckle harness and a power harness?
But that's why some of the roller coasters do. They have that power harness, and then it, you know, comes between your legs and buckles in.
I think they all should.
They should all come between your legs? This is nice. This is a brilliant idea. It will never, ever happen.
Okay.
Month of Stunts 2,
oh, God.
Kill Kathy edition.
That would be like eat breakfast without washing your hands first.
Right. I'd rather skydive than do that.
It would be the lamest radio you've ever heard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we've run out of
Purell. No, sit next to a stranger.
Touch poop.
Oh, no.
All right. Hey, I do want to do this because I don't want to let these stories get away from me. And we're going to take a quick walk on the city beat. These are things that...
Even know what voice... Did I ever do a voice for this, or are we just letting it go as is?
I guess you could kind of do Harry
Let me
Knuckles,
work on it.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure.
Preston takes to the streets to get the lowdown on what's happening in Philadelphia.
So there is...
Casey doesn't like this.
Okay, we'll come up with something else. We do like the music, though. Graffiti Pier.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The unofficial Philadelphia artist playground that was shut down last spring after a bit of illegal activity was starting to take place is likely now going to become a public park.
Is that right?
Where is Graffiti Pier, Case?
You got to go, like, up Delaware Avenue, like, all the way to the end. I've
north?
Never been there. Yeah, north.
Okay.
And I've only seen pictures. My cousin's been there. He takes his dog there and stuff like that. But
his cousin takes his dog there.
When I initially heard this, I thought maybe it was in JFK.
No.
Where the skateboarders.
No,
because we've been there. It's loaded up with graffiti, but this is, like...
It's north of Fishtown near Port Richmond.
Okay, Marissa?
Yeah, it's like past Sugar House. If you come on the Spirit of Philadelphia with me next week, you sail by it a couple of times.
Really?
It's really cool looking.
All right.
It's very similar to JFK Skate Park with all of the graffiti on it.
Right.
But it's literally just on an empty plot of land.
Kind of looks where Maui used to be.
Yeah.
A little further north.
North of that. Yes.
Got it.
I like good. I don't like tagging, you know?
I know.
But this particular place looks cool. There's also an old school that was on near Bartram Avenue. I think it's... I don't know if Bartram High is not there anymore, but I drove past it a couple of weeks ago, and it looks like the school's closed down, but it's all graffitied over.
So we're looking at pictures of this place, and I see why it's earned its name graffiti.
Yeah, it's loaded. So it was closed.
There's basically a lot of graffiti.
It was closed in May of last year because police started to patrol the area more heavily because of some illegal activity.
There's a lot of hang gliding going on.
Well, there's a lot of drug dealing, stuff like that, I would imagine. And the taggers and the artists got all pissed off about it. But under the agreement first reported on by the Inquirer, Conrail will sell 6 acres of its Riverside property to DRWC, which is working on its promise to create a public park every half mile along the string of trails on the Delaware River. So public park every half mile. That's a great idea.
Wait, say that again, Preston.
A public park. How many? What's
every half mile along the string of trails on the Delaware River. So
isn't that a great idea?
Either there's green space or maybe piers that are like this that they can turn into a park.
For all that's turned around down there on the river, there's still so much that could be done.
It's getting there. It's got a long way to go. But you're right, Stephen. We've watched it for decades just crawl in development and. There could be so much more done.
How long did it take them to pull away that semi-submerged Hooters?
Yeah. Philly has more waterfront property than New York City, and yet ours is far less developed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but with communities like, you know, Fishtown and Northern Liberties and all that becoming
a little bit gentrified. Yeah. I think it will promote development in these areas.
But the problem is that 95 bisects it. So you have the city and the neighborhoods, and then 95 blocks you from getting to the river, and then there are railways along there as well, too. So like it keeps people from being able to walk from their neighborhoods to the waterfront property.
Yeah, I think deep, dark tunnels would really help.
Sure.
Well, I don't mind this idea, but you have to be able to police that area. And my wife and I one time were walking down West River Drive, and this is before they put in that skate park. And we're walking, and then all of a sudden, it got scary. Like, it went from, like, a nice
monsters?
Little... Not monsters, but, like, I don't... Just seedy individuals, and it just happened out of nowhere. And it was like, oh, okay, well, this is the part of the trail that...
Hey, kid, you want to smoke a cigarette?
Now, the moment I start feeling uncomfortable is when I start to see, like, parking lots with, like, weeds growing up out of them and stuff like that. I'm like, okay.
Yeah,
nobody, I'm like, nobody takes care of this area. And that lends it to people who will loiter and maybe illegal activity and stuff like that. And if it's not maintained, I start to go, it's probably.
And you have to. You can't have it falling into disarray. But what if the city were to invest in some Boston Dynamics kill robots to patrol the area?
That'd be perfect.
There you go.
That might be the fix of your problem right there.
A girl I used to date lived in North Jersey, in like the mountains and lake areas of North Jersey. And they had like a giant rock. It was like just one graffiti rock in the whole area, and it totally stood out because it, you know, it's just, it's all nature and stuff like that. But what was cool about it is that everybody painted on it and painted over it, and it became like a birthday rock. You know what I mean? So if it was like your buddy's birthday, you and all your friends would go there and like paint, you know, hey, happy birthday, Preston. And
wasn't there a rock that ended up with some Preston and Steve and WMMR paints on it at school South Carolina or something? Do you guys remember this? This was literally like a decade ago, but it was like a rock,
like a rock standing arrow straight.
Yeah.
Like a boulder,
like a Bob Seger style rock. like a boulder, but it was known for people painting on it. And we got wind of it somehow. This literally was at least 10 years ago, maybe more.
Huh.
And then they ended up painting Gadzooks and WMMR and Preston and Steve on it.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Okay. The hell's happening to me?
Bring that back.
I think I'd remember a rock that was painted on. Yeah.
And there's also another rock thing, but this isn't like giant rocks. They're like little stones, if you will.
It's a lot of rock stories.
Well, I want to ask you, Press, because your daughter goes to public school, and actually you too, Nick. Do they do these things where like the kids will paint rocks and then leave them at other schools? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Take them to playgrounds,
like
too.
Friendship rocks or something like that. What's that called?
I don't know. Our next door neighbor Arden does that. She's a really sweet girl, and she'll paint a rock and just leave it on our driveway or something like that for us. It's really cool. It's neat.
That's a Sicilian death threat.
We love that. Yeah. I didn't know that. Now I'm really scared.
But it's,
I
have
no idea they were.
Get a cute little
Did
girl.
You get my message?
Yeah.
What I'm describing is very similar to like a flat Stanley type of deal. Where it's a campaign. It's a campaign of some sort, and it's all over the area. So, like, if you were going on vacation this summer, your daughter would go to a school in, you know,
where?
Hawaii, California, Colorado, whatever, and leave these rocks from Pennsylvania.
And they usually say something positive or have a cute picture on them or something like that. No, that's a great idea, though.
Yeah.
Okay. They haven't done it at our school district, not that I know of, but I do like that idea. Here you go, Casey.
Kindness rocks.
Do this at the school.
Okay. You did? Okay.
Yes.
So what you do is when you travel, you fill up your luggage with rocks?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or you could just take paints with you.
Oh, okay.
And that way you find a rock there.
Yeah, I guess that makes better more sense.
Well,
I've got 400 pounds of rocks.
We should start a campaign for MMR rocks.
MMR rocks!
Come on!
Wow, nice job.
Thank you, everybody.
I love
it.
I actually kind of love it.
Yeah.
And we can associate a prize. By the way, we're having a promotions meeting right now.
Yeah.
If you listen to this.
Thanks for joining us.
We've gone so far off into rock chat.
That we now have turned into a staff
So what's
meeting.
Your favorite, metamorphic, sedimentary igneous?
Ooh. Park your thoughts on that, because there's one more thing from the city beat that I want to hit, and we're running out of time. And I do want to mention this, because Marissa has said for years that I need to go to this place, and I'm not going there without her.
Oh.
Because I don't think I could get in there without her. Esquire magazine named Philly's resident speakeasy bar in Chinatown on its list of 2019's best American Bars, and this is the Hop Sing Laundromat.
We've heard about this for years.
Yep, and you need to, there's an etiquette, a protocol, and you need to be invited of sorts, or you need to be allowed in. I'm sorry, not invited. Or this bottom line, they can turn you away, right? Isn't that the deal, Marissa?
So it's like is there a Studio 54 vibe outside, or what's the deal?
If you're not dressed properly, they won't let you in.
Yes, there are rules, like you can't wear flip-flops. They changed them recently. You can't wear flip-flops. I don't know if you can wear shorts for men.
No
can't,
photos, right?
No pictures.
No photos, but that's great.
What about, you can't have you can't be looking at your cell phone and stuff, right?
Yeah, no cell phones out at all. If you have your cell phone out, they will ask you to leave. There is like little
atrium. Can you bring painted rocks inside?
Oh, probably if they're in your pocket.
Yeah,
but there's like a gate. It is a very nondescript door in Chinatown, right at 10th and Race. And you ring the bell and somebody comes out and they take your license and they kind of like check you because there are people that are banned from the restaurant for breaking these rules in the past.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's it. The more you make something exclusive, the more people want to get into it.
But the cocktails are supposed to be out of this world.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. So that's the big draw.
Yep.
Yep. Cocktails are amazing, and they all have really cool names. A lot of Beatles songs and different things.
Yeah. The one that they highlight and recommend that you should, this is according to the magazine Esquire, that you should try for your first timer is called the Henry Box Brown. It's named after a slave who escaped to freedom by mailing himself from Virginia to Philadelphia in a crate. So they've really been thoughtful about the names of these cocktails.
Yeah.
So they clearly have mixologists working there that come up with these great concoctions.
Yeah, I mean, it takes probably a good like 10 minutes to get your drink because they hand press all the juices as you get them. Lee is the owner of the establishment, and he is this very eccentric, fun Asian man who, if you get to see him, please try to talk to him for a few minutes. He has great glasses. He has great style.
I love your glasses.
Little secret, though. After you've done the story, I have a secret about it, too.
Say that with your olives in your nose.
I'll hold your glasses.
What is that in your nose?
Dude, that face.
These are my lucky olives.
You have to go.
Come on.
No, free drink. No.
You are now my leader.
So I want to go there, but I want to go there with you, Marissa. So just finding the time is the hardest part about it. But there were only 27 bars in the entire country that were named in this article.
Wow.
And Hop Sing Laundromat was one of them.
You remember your original, though? I mean, the original protestation was that they were being a little too snooty. And so you originally, when this came up, you weren't a big fan of the concept. But now,
well,
you've changed? You've softened?
Well, no, just I want to try the drinks.
Right.
I mean, and it looks like a neat place. Yes. Well, listen, Marissa suggested one night in the city that my friends and I, after we were out, go by this one bar. We walked in, took a good look, and we turned right around. We're like, we do not belong here. This is not what we were looking for. And not that it was a bad place. It was just, I think we aged out of this particular joint.
You were getting man bun burns.
It wasn't that. It was just, actually, people were, it was a cigar bar, and everybody, it was people there to be seen. We were there just to drink.
Yeah.
That's it. So it was not that particular establishment. But this place, trying the beverages alone is mainly what I'm interested in.
All right.
Yeah, but I like the idea of going somewhere cool like this, but it's not like super crowded either, right?
And then you're talking about Chuck E. Cheese.
That
was like the speakeasy that I went to in Nashville. There wasn't very many people there. It's not advertised. You don't know where it is. We happen to know because somebody told us, and it was in our hotel.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily think Sugar Mom's was a speakeasy, but it sort of had that vibe. It would often get crowded, and that was the only knock that I would have on Sugar Mom's.
Where do you go to get picked up by black guys, Kathy?
In Nashville, apparently. Anywhere.
Yeah. Wait, what did he say to you?
He said,
I want you.
Girl, I want you.
Girl, I want you.
Marissa? Yeah,
they only let people in to fill the tables. There's no standing at the bar, just for the seats.
Okay.
So it's not overcrowded. But here's a little secret. Lee, who does the cocktail program, is now doing the cocktails at Rouge on Rittenhouse Square.
Okay.
Woo. And he just announced that he's doing them at Vesper in, I guess that's Center City, Midtown.
Mm-hmm.
So if you would like to try the cocktails, you can go there too. But if you do go, it's so cheesy. But like, you know how you go out to breakfast and you get table pancakes where like you share them for the table. Everybody just takes a bite.
Yeah, I've never done that.
Last night for dinner, I had a bag of hers pretzels and iced tea.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
She's out having all this.
Table pancakes?
Table pancakes.
God,
normal
like,
people don't do that.
No.
Okay.
Are you all ready to start your table pancakes? It's going to be a delicacy that will be very impressive.
I like my own pancakes.
We don't use syrup. We use a raisin compost.
It's just fork out of my pancakes.
You're going to love it. Regular pancakes are round, and that's pedestrian. Ours are parabolas.
Parabolas?
Yes, we find that design more suitable for the pancake experience.
Well, that's impressive.
We don't heat them in the traditional way. We put them on the backs of armadillos who lay in the sun. Each pancake is $71.13.
The entire table gets to eat them. So
absolutely.
You know, yeah.
You can smell
we elect an eater and the others watch. Come on.
Armadillos?
We find that the oils within the armadillo shell brings out the taste of the pancake. Or as we call it, a paraboloid.
Oh, dear God. So anyway, like the table pancakes...
It's, if there's something very indulgent that everybody could share, like you don't want to have like a red velvet pancake as just your breakfast, you want to snack on it. Like that, I suggest you go to Hop Sing and try the screwdriver. Because you might not drink it. Yes, exactly. You might not order a screwdriver as a regular drink.
I don't understand.
Why would you share it?
Well,
because like you might, there's really cool drinks because that you want to try.
Because sharing is caring.
Because, you know, they're a little expensive, the cocktails, so if everybody just gets a sip of it, it's really good. I'm just saying the screwdrivers are really good. That's why you're not invited, Kathy.
You know how you guys get it.
No, thank you.
Table cocktail, right?
I don't want to share a drink with you guys.
Yes.
They just bring out a pail with straws
right,
in it.
Right, right. Everyone.
It's a table cocktail.
Like that
by the way, a quick question. Are you all comfortable with things like group sex?
That Dunkin' Donuts video we did where everyone was sipping on the coffee. I was like, I'm not doing that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You wouldn't do it.
If somebody brings out nachos at a restaurant and a group, will you pull from that nacho pile?
Yeah, that's not that. You're not putting right. You're not putting your mouth on it and biting and then passing it to me.
Okay.
Hop Sing Laundromat is one of the best bars in the country.
Cool.
We look forward to them bringing all their stuff in here so we don't have to go there.
That'll never happen.
We'll do it. He doesn't need it. Yeah.
I would like to go there. But I'm intrigued by armadillo pancakes now. All right, that's been a walk down the city, B.
Lee.
What is it?
Oh, that's Lee.
That's Lee from a Hop Sing Laundromat.
He's on the phone. Yes. No, give me the city, B.
I got to wrap it up.
Wrap it up!
I can't do it without surrounding our feature properly. There we go. All right. Listen, we do need to take a break, but how about we set you up with some tickets to go to Beast of a Beast. And this is at Elmwood Park Zoo.
You're going to love this.
They're going to have great cocktails there, too, by the way.
They always do a great job.
Yeah, Capital Grill and Bluebell Inn are here this morning providing some food for us and wandering amongst the animals at Elmwood Park Zoo. You can enjoy an evening of sampling food and drinks, more than 30 restaurants and 12 breweries, unlimited food samples, open bar, and zoo admission is included with your ticket, Steve. I'll bet they have armadillos there.
Ready to make some pancakes for you.
Caller number 16 and 17. We'll get the passes to 215-263-WMMR. We're going to take a break. Come back in a second. Jimmy O. Yang, who is going to be at Helium Comedy Club, will be here in just a moment. Make sure you stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Thrice. Shine now. I want to
elevate. New music, more of everything that rocks.
Elevate. On 93.3 WMMR.
Thank you very much, Kath. We're excited to have our next guest in the studio. He's going to be at Helium Comedy Club tonight and tomorrow. You've seen him in TV shows and films, and now you get to see him live on stage here in Philadelphia.
Very cool.
Anything from Silicon Valley to Patriot's Day to Crazy Rich Asians to It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. The list goes on, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jimmy O. Yang.
Yeah.
How you doing, Jimmy?
Morning. I'm doing well. That's great.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, you know, I mentioned all those credits, and you know, you do comedy, but I want to point out, man, you're a solid dramatic actor as well. Patriot's Day, you were fantastic in.
Thank you so much. Sadly, not a lot of people watched it, but I'm
I love that movie.
It's made the jump over to like HBO and stuff like that, and people are seeing it. But it is a movie that is very well done. And Mark Wahlberg and everybody is really good. And who's the director? Peter Berg.
He's
who's
amazing.
Really, really good. And he and Wahlberg work well together.
And you played a role of a story that I really didn't know. And I'm watching, you know, they were taking different people. This, if you haven't seen the movie, it's about the Boston Marathon bombing. And it took a bunch of different people's and their experiences, mainly focused on
the pursuit of the brothers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But your character was the one who was kidnapped, held hostage.
by those guys and eventually escaped and alerted the police. Hey, I know where these guys are. I know who they are. I didn't know that story.
Yeah, that guy was amazing. Yeah. Danny Meng, Chinese immigrant, you know, college student. And this is about, of course, the Boston Marathon bombing.
Yeah.
And I bugged him every other day. Spoiler alert, he stays alive, you know, yeah, in the movie. Yeah. So I bugged him every day when I was in Boston. And we had dinner, like went to Chinatown every other day. He was a really nice, warm guy. And he came to the premiere and tapped me on the shoulder. He's like, hey. I think you did a great job.
There you go. Nice. I mean, it's weird. It's to me, it always seems to be one of the weirdest things. And some actors have, you know, the desire to go speak with the person that they're playing, and other people don't want to. And that, you know, I guess it's whatever the technique that works for that particular actor. I think if you have someone that you could glean some insight from, that would benefit the performance, you know?
Yeah, and he was super nice. It's not like he was asking for money or anything. You know what I mean? Like, that would be weird.
Sure, for $1,000.
Yeah, for $1,000, I'll tell you what happened.
But obviously a lot of great comedic roles, Fresh Off the Boat, and I'd mentioned the movies and all that stuff. So is stand-up comedy where you kind of started, or acting, or where'd you begin?
That's where everything started. Okay. I started doing stand-up at the Ha Ha Comedy Club.
Ha Ha, yeah.
In L.A., I had to pay $5 for 5 minutes of stage time.
That's what it used. So it's quite common a lot of times when you do stand-up. In the early days, you either have to do one or two things. You'll pay or you have to promise, I'll bring in 10 people to watch.
Exactly. It's called a bringer show.
Right.
And I did that, too. And honestly, I've had times where I only brought in 3 people instead of like 5, and they wouldn't let me on stage. I'm like, just let me on stage for 3 minutes. Yeah. How about that?
Yeah. But you studied economics, right?
Yes, yeah, studied economics.
University of San Diego?
UCSD.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, was your commencement speaker Mike Judge?
Yeah. How crazy was that?
The showrunner for Silicon Valley.
Silicon Valley. Yeah. Look, I didn't even think I was going to be an actor then. You know, I was barely starting to do open mics. And Mike is probably the only cool person that ever went to UCSD because everybody else is like an engineer or like neuroscientist or something like that.
Right.
And Mike was a physicist.
He's Mensa level smart, that dude.
He's a genius.
Yeah.
He's a genius. He ended up working to program fighter jets.
No.
And that's how he started working in the Silicon Valley in the 80s during like one of the original tech booms.
The creator of Beavis and Butthead has that kind of mental skill set. It's amazing.
Yeah, and he toured as a professional bassist for like bluegrass bands. The guy's a genius.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. So okay. So little did you suspect. But so after that, after the economics and everything, you were born in Hong Kong, correct?
I was born in Hong Kong. Yeah.
Came here. I know you have a book called How to American: An Immigrant's Guide to Disappointing Your Parents.
Yes, that's true.
And so you come here and you had relatives in the States, and you came here to live. And so, I think you're working. You know, you're working at a financial firm, or where was it?
It was Smith Barney. Was under Citigroup, and I graduated 2010 from college, which is right after the financial crash of 2008.
It's a perfect time.
Nobody in finance was hiring, and nobody was going to trust a 22-year-old kid with their money,
right?
You know, so my dad hooked me up with an internship, and like one day he came home, like he was like, Jimmy, you know, great news, they're going to hire you full time. You're going to be a great financial advisor, and literally like tears of joy was coming out of his eyes, and I thought that was just the worst news ever. Like, that to me sounded like a death sentence, you know? And I just didn't know how to tell him, and I was like, I don't want to do this, you know? And
but out of your sense of obligation, you figured you at least had to give it a try.
Exactly. I always thought it was, because the subtitle of the book, you know, Immigrants Got It Disappointing Your Parents, for me, disappointing your Asian parents is the same as, you know, pursuing your dreams. It's just those two are the same thing.
They're the exact same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have older siblings or anything like that?
I did. My brother, and he is in finance.
So,
you know,
so that's going to be even more of a disappointment as well. I ran into something similar. My older brother is a chemist. My older sister was a math teacher. And then I started doing radio, and my dad was like, when are you going to, like, start your life? And I was like, But I am.
Like, get a real job.
But
we know it. It's the truth. I mean, there was that Tiger Mom, you know, she wrote that book. And, we just get this sense. I mean, obviously, the list of academic accomplishments within the Asian community is legendary. So, yes, I would imagine the onus is on you to do that. So how did you just start doing it and hope you get enough success to warrant it? Or did you just say, I'm going to go for this?
I had to, like, disappoint my parents in order to not disappoint myself.
Yeah.
Like, that was the creed that I lived by. So after college, I did the internship for a little bit just to appease my dad. And then after that, I got three jobs. And when I graduated, I was a used car salesman. I worked at a comedy club as a doorman in exchange for stage time. And then I was a strip club DJ at night. So I did all those three things, still not knowing what I wanted to do.
Okay, right, we have multiple questions there, Casey.
Well,
go ahead.
So strip club DJ. But so you paid basically for your stage time at a comedy club. Did you have to? Because I thought this is the way it worked at strip clubs, at least some here in Philly. Do you pay for your booth and then you work off of tips from the dancers, or they just straight up paid you?
No. They paid me. I think it was like $75 a shift, and if the dancers wanted to tip me, you know, they could tip me. But there was no customers in that club, so nobody ever tipped me.
What was it? Were you doing like day stripping, or was it a night stripper?
It was night stripping. It was after my comedy club show. There was no prime time in that club at any time.
Ever.
It was called Fantasy Showgirls. It's shut down now.
Okay.
And they had like two customers at most, and my job became like really doing crowd work on those two guys and really hassling the two people. It was sad.
So did you have, and almost every strip club DJ has the same delivery. Yeah, all right, fellas out there, let's put your hands together.
Yeah. Were you doing
it? Was the same thing. Yeah. It was, you go into like a strip club DJ voice.
Yeah.
I never learned it, but I guess I heard it somewhere. It's like, all right, ladies and gentlemen, 2-for-1 lap dance is coming up right now. Guy with the gray shirt in the front, don't be shy with you, Wally. Get 2-for-1 lap dance with your favorite dancers. I saw you eyeing Milan and Jade. You can get 2-for-1 for price of one for the next 10 minutes. It's just that voice.
Yeah. Mercedes on the main stage. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, there's only one stage. Okay.
this place really was bad.
It was sad, man.
Jimmy, I wanted to ask about your character, Bernard Tai.
Oh, yeah.
In Crazy Rich Asians. That douchebag friend that for some reason the guys all just keep in their circle for whatever reason it is.
Yeah.
Number one, did you have any friend in mind when you were being that character? It had to have been a fun character to play, first of all.
Absolutely. Super fun, super douchey, and I took a heart deep look into myself. And I'm like, this might be me.
Impress us as a douchebag, though. Yeah, you know?
I think he's in a part of all of us. There's a part of us that want to be this billionaire playboy that lives by no rules and is a complete douche. So you just kind of let that part out yourself, you know? And it was really fun.
That character made the movie for me.
It was great. And there was you have these people, you have the stud, the main protagonist there, who's very demure about the spending.
Yeah.
And here you are going, no, let's go for it.
Yeah.
Were you surprised at how popular the movie was and how it took off?
We weren't expecting it. We're hoping it'll be big, you know, because it's very important for our community in a way, just so that we can make more movies with our faces on it, you know.
Yeah.
The Asian community, for anybody that doesn't know. But yeah, I was amazed when we did the press tours and stuff. And well, actually, one of my stops was here in Philly.
Okay.
We stopped by Mac Mart and gave out a bunch of like lobster mac and cheese. We went to Barclay Prime. I wouldn't pay for this myself, but we had a $120 cheesesteak, the Crazy Rich cheesesteak.
Yep.
It was amazing. Yeah. It was great. That was what I remember from
Somebody
Philly.
Told me that you guys were in this building.
I think so. I honestly forget which show it was, like, because it was, but we were here. I remember.
Yeah. I'm going to complain about that. Because you didn't come by. Yeah.
All right. So in the film, your character shoots a missile launcher.
Yeah.
Several times. What were those? Just fireworks inside that, or is it all CGI? Or did they have you shooting?
It was a real missile launcher, but it was CGI fireworks.
Okay.
Because I don't think it'll be safe for me to. Yeah. You know. Shoot it, but you know, it's just a testament to my acting, you know. You got to do the boom, you know, as if you fell back a couple steps. I'm kidding. It was a very heavy, it's like 30 pounds, and it was like 120 degrees in this was in Malaysia.
Okay.
And great job to our set decorator, you know. So
it's magnificent.
The scene was on a cargo ship, and it was like functional, like pools, helicopter pads, you know, diving boards, stuff like that. And it was in an empty parking lot in Malaysia that he built all these things.
That's where that was?
Yeah.
Man, that looked good.
Right.
Because it's the same reason that the lifestyles of the rich and famous was so popular. Everyone loves to look at that sort of lush lifestyle. Yeah. But the cast was great, too. You had Michelle Yeoh, who's legendary.
Legend.
You know, we had Steve Byrne in, and he's a good friend of the show. And he was talking about, he goes, you know, there's this whole... I'm a big fan of Hong Kong, you know, cinema and all that stuff. So these all these people, to see them get this sort of celebration for this. First, you have a super stellar looking cast. What's her name? Gemma Chan.
Amazing. Yeah.
And then obviously, so, but I mean, they had to be putting you up in style. They can't drive you to a set that's that glorious and then have you go back to the Ramada, right? Were they taking care of you?
Yeah. Yes and no. Like, I mean, we stayed in a very nice hotel in Singapore. But at the same time, we didn't have the biggest budget. It was a $35 million film, right? And in the book, it said the budget for that wedding was $35 million.
Yeah.
So we have to somehow make everything look great. And it would be like handmade, you know, Singaporean suits that we're wearing. And they're some of the greatest tailors there. But inside, we're wearing like a Uniqlo shirt.
Okay.
You know, but we made it work. You know what I mean?
No, you convinced us. Yeah.
It looked like excess. It looked legit. Everything looked really top notch. So that's cool that they were able to pull that off like that.
Yeah. And whenever you put Gemma Chan on stage, it just looks like $100 million.
She's stunning. Yeah. I mean, she's just incredible.
You had mentioned, you know, the Asian community and acting and comedy. And I know that you use your social media to promote that and so on. So how tight is the amongst actors and comedians? Is there a community? Do you get together? Do you see each other around as far as the Asian performance community goes?
Yeah, I think it's both. Like, I started off with just a stand-up community, which I thought was so cool. That's one of the main reasons why I did stand-up.
So you've seen Bobby Lee's penis then?
Sadly, no.
Oh!
I feel a bit left out.
Wow.
Guy gets naked every time he comes in this studio.
Oh, really? I've been to his house, and he still has not shown me his penis.
Like, we're not even Asian.
We're closer friends. Yeah.
I know. There must be something wrong with me. Maybe he only shows penis to white people.
It might be that.
That might be it.
He tells you guys about, listen, here's what I do with the white. Whip it out.
But yeah, like Bobby was somebody I looked up to. I watched Matt TV religiously. Steve Byrne was somebody I looked up to. Ken Jeong. And now we're all like really close and good friends.
That's great.
Ken, of course, was in the movie.
Yeah.
He's great.
And, you know, we all love each other. And doing this movie, one of the greatest thing, you know, was I felt like I found my creed. Yeah. You know, of actors, comedians, because we all kind of went through the same phase of disappointing our parents to do this job. We all had the same experience. And, like, when we hang out in Singapore, there was no questions of, like, hey, can we go to Chinese food? Like, look, it's not, like, weird Chinese food. It's just like, no. Everybody was just down. We go to authentic Chinese food, and we did karaoke every night. Everybody was just on the same page, and it felt so good.
That's cool. If you're just tuning in, it's Jimmy O. Yang is going to be at Helium Comedy Club tonight and tomorrow that's with us. Steve, I have a special surprise for you. Now, this is from a text message, so I hope this is correct. But did you star with Ken Jeong in a BTS music video?
I did.
Holy crap.
BTS fan.
I have become a fan of this. I saw them. This is recent because I saw my Margaret Cho was here and she started laughing, but she was, you know, she got it. They did that song that they do with Halsey, but it was without her. I'm not. I know my Halsey. So they did, and I'm like, and I told these guys, I watched it. I was like,
Saturday Night Live.
I was being dismissive on Saturday Night Live, and then I suddenly like, oh, this is really good. I was enjoying the performance, and now I really do kind of dig them. And now I'm sort of into the K-pop scene a little bit.
It's amazing.
It is amazing because, again, there's such an over-the-top nature to what's being done, but it's done with such zeal and joy. You'd have to be a rock to not be at least get into it a little bit. Are you a fan at all?
I'm a huge fan.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's the new Backstreet Boys, but they just happen to be Korean.
Yeah, you know, I think they're better.
And that's huge for the community, once again. Like, I mean, whenever I meet a girl that tells me she listens to BTS... It's a done deal. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, that's it. It's great. They're representing, man. Like, it's great. And they're, like, sexy. They're, like, sex symbols worldwide. So it's great for
so
us.
So there's I just found, I think I was showing a video to somebody. It's 10 Girls. I don't know the name of this band, but somebody just... Now, of course, now I get inundated, and somehow I end up on BTS message boards.
Yeah, nice.
This is the point of my life. But there's a lot out there, you know, and it's cool to discover this. I wanted to ask you something that I saw, and I don't know if this is real. Did you do work with the Harlem Globetrotters?
Oh, man. You know, people ask me that. It was one of my very first paid jobs ever. So the Harlem Globetrotters, they go to China for like a world tour every year.
Right.
And I was like one of the only Chinese-American comedians they could find. This was like 10 years ago. And I was the only one they could afford, I guess. They paid me $200.
to do what exactly?
To be a consultant. So they sent me the script for the Chinese tour to make sure nothing's offensive.
Oh. Okay.
Honestly, I didn't even read the script.
Really, you're good to go.
I didn't know. I was like, that was my first job as a comic. I didn't know. And I skimmed through the script. There's something about, like, they bring out, like, a Hello Kitty thing, yeah. You know, in the middle of their show. I just told them for $200. I was like, dude, you know, Hello Kitty's Japanese, not Chinese. Okay, just so you guys know that. And that was it. That was my $200 worth of advice. And now on my Wikipedia says that I wrote for the Harlem Globetrotters.
I was like, what the hell could he possibly be writing for the Harlem Globetrotters?
Right?
Oh, I mean, you know, so they're going to win.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny. Wow. Hey, I wanted to ask you about a term that I wasn't familiar with that I did learn in Crazy Rich Asians was they talk about being called a banana.
Oh, yeah.
Yellow on the outside, white on the inside. Is that an insult amongst the Asian community?
Yeah, well...
Asian-to-Asian insult of sorts?
Kind of, like a nice nudge. Okay. You know, why are you acting so white type of deal?
Okay. Is that like an Asian version of like an Uncle Tom?
Yeah,
like
an
Oreo.
Well, that's a bit harsher. We have a term for that called Uncle Chan. If you look on the hater Asian Twitterverse... You know,
the
ton of that.
Asian Twitter.
Yeah. But a banana, a Twinkie. You know,
okay,
something
okay.
Like that. Yeah.
I've always wanted to go to Hong Kong, and it just looks, you know, like a fascinating. How old were you? How when you left?
I was 13.
Okay, she
very
had some
awkward age to come to a different country.
Yeah,
you know.
Real quick, then, what is your Asian name then?
Yeah. So. My in Cantonese is instead of Jimmy, my Asian first name is Man Sing, or in Mandarin, it's Wan Chen. It stands for 10,000 success.
10,000 success.
Yeah. So my parents were definitely trying to set me up for failure.
Yeah, right.
You
know?
You're like five success.
Yeah. And then the last name means in the world of comedy.
Yeah.
Please tell me that they're proud of you right now.
They are.
Okay.
It took them a long time to come around. I take them to all the premieres. I took them to the Patriots Day premiere, and all my dad wanted was a selfie with Mark Wahlberg. It was very embarrassing.
Did he get it?
He got it. He got it. Same thing with Crazy Rich Asians. They want a selfie with Constance and Michelle, and they got that, so they were like real happy about that, but still they didn't like care that I was there almost. But it wasn't until I made it on a Chinese newspaper,
really,
then they were like, oh, okay, he made it.
Okay, so wow. Like Silicon Valley, then no, not on their radar. They
yes and no. My dad understands comedy a little better than my mom. Like, he loved it. My mom watched it for the first time. He's like, hey Jimmy, can you not hunch it back?
He's correcting your posture.
Yeah, I was like, Ma, I'm playing a character in the show. It's like, okay, play someone who doesn't hunch his back.
Sure. Speaking of Silicon Valley, I read the other day, sixth season is going to be the last one.
Yeah, it is. We just announced it.
Filming it, or have you started? Or
we just had our first table read. So we're going to go in the end of this month. We're going to start.
The table read process is kind of interesting. I've seen footage of it, and so when you're sitting down there, is that the first time you're reading the script?
Well, it's not supposed to be. You know, they send you the script the night before.
Right.
If you're really good about it, you read it before.
Are you
sometimes
good about
I read it?
It,
sometimes I'm not, and then I get caught because I'm way too enthralled in the script, like as if I'm watching as an audience member. So I get caught not reading it because I'm like, ooh, no way. You know? And then Amanda Crew would turn to me and be like, you didn't read the script, huh? I think there was a famous video out there now with Kit Harington's reaction of the last season.
He starts crying,
when
he finds out what happens to his lover.
Snow, Ygritte.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Or to this last season.
Oh,
no spoilers. You know?
Yeah.
Nice. You have a birthday coming up.
Yeah,
next
this
Tuesday.
Coming week, yeah.
You're the day before me. You're the 11th.
Oh, really?
I'm
you're the 12th?
Yeah.
Gemini.
Yeah. You going to do anything special, or birthday's just kind of...
I don't know. I'm 31 now. I feel like once you pass 30, it's nothing
special. Yeah, I'm 31, too.
Yeah. I don't know. I just like a nice dinner and go to a local bar, you know?
Okay.
Something chill.
Cool. Any woman in your life these days, or anyone in your life? Romantically?
Know, maybe not.
Okay.
Know,
all right.
Depends on the weekend.
Yeah, depends on what city I'm in. Right? Like, no, come
depends
on.
Depends if he meets some BTS fans.
Yeah exactly. Exactly.
Did you and Gemma Chan hit it off?
We did the press tour together.
Yeah,
She's great. She's amazing. But she's in Britain. Well, she's in Britain.
Speaking quickly of that, there's talk of a second one, yes?
I think they're writing it because it's based on three books.
Yeah.
So we don't know. We don't know what it's going to be about. Hopefully I'll be a part of it.
Yeah, and, it'd be nuts to not have you in it.
I know, right? Yeah. We're such close families.
Your character stood out so much that they could, if the success continues, they could spin it off and have your own movie.
That would be fun. I would love that. I love playing that guy. And so
just,
freeing.
Just give you weapons to shoot.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah.
It's like when like really good people get to play villains and they're so good at it.
Yeah.
Because it's just not, you know, it's
that'd
like,
be fun.
Oh, I can be bad and mean. And
they relish it.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Anything in the works right now that that we should keep an eye out for as far as the
Yeah, did a couple things. So funny, you said Steve Byrne. Yeah. He just directed a movie that I'm in.
He was telling us about it. It has to do with the opening act.
It's called The Opening Act, about stand-up comedy. It's a really in-depth look into stand-up comedy.
He's really passionate about it. We love him. He's such
amazing.
A great guy. And he did a movie about the magician, the
Amazing Jonathan that just came out, I think, on YouTube now. You can find it.
So have you gotten to see a final cut of Opening Act? Or
No, I haven't. Every other comic has seen it, you know, but I haven't.
Yeah.
Because I think Steve wanted some notes from the other comics, you know, to make it better, to make the cut better. But the actor should never see it, you know, because if I see it, I'll have too many notes that's just about me.
Right. It's got Tom Segura, Neil Brennan, Russell Peters.
Oh, yeah. Cedric the Entertainer, Bill Burr, Whitney. It's like the who's who's of comedy, and they all play a part in
it. Did you have scenes with these people, or is it shot individually?
Yeah, I was the main character. I basically play like a young Steve going to my first weekend in a stand-up comedy club. And so I had scenes with everyone, and it was cool. Some of these, like Cedric, Bill, are my heroes, and it was my first time meeting them. And it was just so cool.
He was effusive about them, and also he was saying how, you know, he wanted to make sure he got it tonally correct for what it's like for a comedian
to go through
the process. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
That's cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, that was super fun to do. And then right after that, I shot a reboot to Fantasy Island.
No. Is this like a horror movie?
It's going to be a thriller.
Yeah.
It's very cool. It's a Blumhouse Sony production.
Well, Blumhouse is the horror division.
That's right.
So a quick question on that. A lot of people don't realize. If you look at the first Ricardo Montalban, Fantasy Island, there were elements of Twilight Zone-ish horror. And
very
then they did
much.
One with Malcolm McDowell that went a little bit more horror bit more troubling. So this is a good... basis for something to be a little bit darker.
Yeah, I think you see. Hopefully the trailer will come out soon. The movie's coming out in February of 2020. It's dark and it's very cool. Like everybody goes in there with what they think is going to be their fantasy, and then it goes awry, just like the show.
Yeah. Nick just pulled up the casting. I'm looking at it right now. Michael Rooker's in this.
Yeah, amazing.
He is one of the most awesomely bizarre people we've ever met.
He's great.
Yeah.
Oh, he's great. And he was in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
He and was now he's doing NASCAR commercials, which are
is
really
he?
Good. Yeah.
Well, the first time I ever saw him was in a movie called Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer. He was like one of his first. And he's, you know, the guy is nobody plays crazy like he does.
Oh, yeah. And you see it in this movie.
Are you a guest on the island?
I am.
Okay. All right. Guest, so some weird stuff could happen to you.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, I think, and I'm going to say this. It was really nice meeting you. We're never going to see you again because your star is on the rise and you're going to be too big for us.
That is not true.
No, it's totally
hell,
true.
We almost didn't meet you the first time. You're in the damn building.
Yeah, wait till Crazy Rich Asian 3 comes out.
then you'll disconnect.
You guys will have to come to my man.
Well, listen, Jimmy is going to be at Helium Comedy Club. There's shows tonight and tomorrow. They're at 7:30 and 10 p.m., and you can get those tickets at heliumcomedy.com. Great to meet you, Jimmy. Thanks for coming
in. Thank you so nice
meeting
you.
Time
guys.
In Philadelphia. Jimmy O'Yang. Yeah. Take a break and we'll be right back. Stay with us. Hey, gang, we need your blood. It's time to roll up your sleeve for the I Bleed for Preston and Steve blood drive, Saturday, June 15th.
Last year was the second largest blood drive in the nation, and with your help, it'll be number one this year.
So we're headed to the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center in Oaks for this year's drive with kids' activities from Aim High Studio and Paint a Treasure Ceramics, plus Rita's Water Ice and Alex's Lemonade Stand.
The Red Cross is always in need, especially leading into the summer months, so make an appointment now at WMMR.com.
All donors get the newest Preston and Steve t-shirt and this year's pint glass from Window Nation.
Hundreds of donors will be randomly selected for free tickets to one of these concerts at the BB&T Pavilion, the Smashing Pumpkins, and Noel Gallagher on August 8th.
Or Alice Cooper and Hailstorm on August 16th. Tickets for these shows are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Our 14th annual I Bleed for Preston and Steve blood drive.
From the American Red Cross Penn Jersey Blood Services Region
and 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
What if I said, I want you to give me the traffic girl? That may, you know,
still kind of
breaks up. It's still creepy, but
yeah, it's still creepy. Not as bad.
I want to mention that it is a theme block party weekend on MMR this weekend.
Always I love
great,
these.
Always great weekend program. Yeah, there's going to be three song blocks from your favorite bands, but there's a special theme with the blocks, and they have a common thread. And all you have to do is be the correct caller when prompted, and you guess the correct theme. And you win a 4-pack of tickets to Dorney Park and Wild Water Kingdom. So that's going on this weekend, just to give you a heads up on that.
Nice.
And it says, feel free to plug Pierre's workforce blocks if and when this you feel it fits. So check out Pierre's workforce blocks.
Because we feel it fits.
Weekdays at noon. Request one for right now. I mean, because it's the block weekend. So Pierre does the blocks as well. You can go to PierreWMMR.com and let him know what you're interested in hearing. And the man will eventually get around to it. I guarantee you that. All right, we're going to do the Bizarre File, so let's go.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Godshall's. Cook out and eat lighter with Godshall's real meat, real wood smoked turkey bacon. 80% less fat than pork bacon. And all the rich, smoky flavor. Discover hundreds of recipes at Godshall's.com. I'm sorry, I just saw a picture of the new Daily Rush video that's up. It's of the preacher that Kenneth Copeland.
Yeah.
And defending the his Jets. And I just can't help, when I look at his face, I hear, there's absolute human filth.
I just can't. To be on a plane.
Yeah.
Surrounded by, basically, you know when your testicles get sweaty and there's a residue? That's actual what a human is like on a plane.
So the video is available now. Check that out. Okay. An argument between neighbors over feral cats, excuse me, led to a shootout that left a 45-year-old man dead and a deputy wounded.
Max Fun could have stepped in and stopped this.
This got out of hand. Sheriff Wayne Ivey said a deputy responded to a disturbance in the area regarding feral cats and asked one of the neighbors to leave the area so that he could speak to another neighbor. Eric Giebauer, I guess I say his name. Became agitated and went behind a vehicle where the deputy heard a rifle being discharged.
Jesus.
Yeah, deputy said the two then engaged in a gunfight with both the deputy and Giebauer, whatever his name is, being shot. Ivy said the deputy expended an entire magazine round in the shootout. He said it lasted long enough for deputy to expend all the rounds in the magazine, reload, and re-engage the suspect.
Over cats.
This is the sheriff. Yeah, Ivy said that the the deputy was pulled to safety by a neighbor, while Giebauer died of his wounds. Neighbor said that there's been an ongoing controversy over the feeding of feral cats in the area. Neighbor said, we do have too many feral cats in the neighborhood, but you don't take a gun out and start shooting people. That's kind of outrageous. The deputy received multiple gunshot wounds and was transported to an area hospital in serious but stable condition. Apparently, he's going to be okay, but he was hurt pretty bad.
I think he's right. Murdering someone over feral cats is kind of outrageous.
Just kind of outrageous. The neighbor said that he was always the angry and violent neighbor. He was just a douchebag. So he's gone now. Even though shaving and sometimes comes with razor burn, or it will sometimes come with razor burn, it can be the better choice than waxing on occasion. A woman from Glasgow, Scotland, named Kiera, decided to wax both of her armpits ahead of her vacation. Unfortunately, the wax solidified faster than she expected. Oh, no. And stuck her arm to her side. She glued her armpit.
That is great.
Yep. She also noted that...
YMCA.
That she, not her. she also noted that she was able to get the wax off.
Wax on, wax off.
Without much of an incident and did not require any medical attention. The wax she used was red, and that led some people to fear that the photo she posted was her armpit filled with blood.
Show me strip the pits.
But apparently that was not the case, so she was able to get it off. But that's
I didn't realize it would serve as an epoxy.
Yeah, I guess it can. I don't know. Police in Decatur had to tranquilize 2 of 3 deer that crashed through the window of an apartment at a retirement community while a woman was inside. Officers went to Adams Woodcrest Retirement Community Tuesday night. A woman was sitting in her living room when 3 deer jumped through the apartment's bedroom window.
"The day was as tight to watch murder," she wrote, "and this deer come through the window."
Deputy Bryce Kukulan went to the apartment. He saw the woman inside sitting on the couch with one of the deer jumping around her in her living room. Oh my,
was she wearing shoes? Please tell me she was wearing shoes.
That's what you got to do just in case a deer gets
Could
in the house.
Could you get this goddamn thing out of here?
The officer shielded the woman until it was safe for her to exit the home. And at one point, 2 of the deer went into the bathroom of the apartment.
To snort coke.
2 of the deer had to be tranquilized and then removed from the apartment. They were taken outside where they recovered and ran away.
This does happen. I guess sometimes they're thrown off. They see a light source or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they go running for it. And fun and hijinks ensue.
The 3rd deer jumped back through the window and ran away. So he got out of there. A massive swastika is one homeowner's front or on is on one homeowner's front yard. And his neighbors don't really care for it. This is in El Sobrante, California. And apparently, according to Steve Johnson, who owns the home, he said, "I own this house. I'll put what I want. It ain't none of you guys' business.
It ain't none of us guys' business."
Now, yeah.
Has he claimed that this is some sort of Tibetan symbol or something like that?
Yep. It's a newly made swastika symbol. It's now embedded in his front yard. I think this guy's full of crap.
It sounds like a bunch of crap to me. Because actually, it's closest to, I believe, a Hindu symbol, right?
Yeah.
The original swastika.
Yeah, but listen to this. He said, "I like those signs. I think they look cool. I like them. The signs on Johnson's handrail and around his doorbell, too. But he insists they're not a symbol of Nazi Germany during World War II. He said it's a Tibetan sign that's way back before swastikas were invented. When asked, "Are you Tibetan?" Johnson said, "I could be."
Okay.
Many Eastern religions use what's known as a swastika with arms, which, however, Steve, here's the difference.
Yeah.
The arms face counterclockwise. The Third Reich changed the symbol to face clockwise. Johnson's face clockwise.
There you go.
It's a swastika.
Mr. Tibetan.
Renee Schultz is Johnson's neighbor. She's Jewish. Asked if she found the symbol offensive. She said yes on behalf of all the Jews that died. Yes, absolutely.
And it's huge, by the way.
It's really big, yeah.
Thinking about swastikas just like last week, and I was thinking like, what if somebody or some other group adopted the swastika to sort of take away its power?
Well, I think that'd be a great business move. If instead of Snuggles the Fabric Softener Bear.
Not like that. I was thinking along the lines of like the LGBTQ community. If they made it like a rainbow swastika.
No way in hell.
Mm.
It's like, but maybe, can we make Adolf Hitler a good guy?
No, I'm not saying that.
I know. No. You're trying to rob it of its impact.
Yes.
But it is, no.
There's no way. There's no way to rob it.
Nah. By the way, one of the neighbors said, who grew up with him and since childhood, said, I consider the guy harmless. He said, maybe he's a little too lazy to be a full-blown neo-Nazi.
I'll tell you something, he's the nicest Tibetan I know.
Yeah. And that when asked about the swastika sticker on his motorcycle, he ended the interview there.
Shut up. It's a Tibetan brand of motorcycle.
And that's what I have for
it's
you.
It's a Sherpa-cycle.
We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second, and I'm going to give away one of our awesome sets of passes. We have a pair of tickets to the Elmwood Park Zoo's Beast of a Feast, and it's on June 20th. Enjoy food samplings and open bar from the over 30 restaurants, 12 breweries. As you stroll through the zoo, we'll take caller number 20 at 215-263-WMMR. The Capitol Grill here, the Bluebell Inn, serving food up for us as well. Fantastic.
The food is sensational. Oh. Plus, I love the zoo itself. It's the right size. You have a great time. There's always so much going on. You're going to have a blast.
Caller 20, you get it. We'll be right back.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Check out the mobile app or go to WMMR.com. You'll figure it out from there.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style.
whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I need to go back and look this up, but if you want to use that song in a movie, you have to pay AC/DC like a ridiculous amount of cash.
You know,
and the Marvel movies made them a lot of money.
They did. You know what other movie uses that and a whole bunch of other AC/DC prominently is Stephen King's Maximum Overdrive.
Yeah, yeah. That's where Who Made Who came out. So, yeah, AC/DC on MMR. And we should have, we had so much yesterday that we wanted to talk to Jack White about. Excuse me. Never got around to the amount of his music that's used in films. They had an IMDb printout of, you know, whatever credits, because we wanted to look up, you know, his acting credits as well, because there's some Walkhart Dewey Cox story, which is amazing. But it was page after page after page after page of movies that his songs have been used in, and he must make money hand over fist in the film industry.
Well, you pointed out, not to him, but Icky Thump is used for Aquaman.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that great, awesome. That great scene where he's walking and the wave crashes and he smashes the bottle down on the ground.
Yeah.
It's from Justice League.
It's excellent. Wow. Speaking of excellent, whatever little dessert product I just had.
Uh-huh. Was it the banana?
Yes.
Yeah, we had that. Steve and I had it too.
was that Capital Grille or was that Bluebell Inn that brought that? I don't know. But anyway, they're both here.
We're going to say Capital Grille because they're here.
It was Bluebell Inn, I think.
Was it? Yeah, yeah.
It was like brownie material.
Yeah.
In a little circle of love. And then inside of it was banana cream pie with whipped cream on top of it. I did not know that had a banana flavor until I was just expecting chocolate.
Yeah.
I'm fan-freaking-tastic.
Using it now as Viagra.
Oh, you should. Because
it's so good.
I got wood.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
I want you so bad. Here, let me take a little banana cream pie treat. So thank you to those guys, and they're here in conjunction with Elmwood Park Zoo, and the Beast of a Feast is coming up on the 20th. Cool event. We'll do some more giveaways before the show is up. But in the meantime, I got to do today's lesson question, and we're going to give away for that a pair of tickets for the live taping of the Comic Book Gurus podcast, Franklin Institute. Steve Morrison's going to be hosting
I will.
Thursday, June 13th, so next week. And then you get to go to the exhibit and everything, which I'll tell you about in a moment. So the question I have for you, I got to ask this. There's two different things that I could ask about this particular topic, but I'm going to go with this. What shape do table pancakes come in? 215-263-WMMR. What shape do table pancakes come in? 215-263-WMMR. They're not circles, I'll tell you that.
No.
Let's see if you know the answer, and we're going to do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you by Godshall's. Cook out and eat lighter with Godshall's real meat, real wood, smoked turkey bacon, 80% less fat than pork bacon, and all the rich smoky flavor. Discover hundreds of recipes at Godshall's.com. What's happening this morning, Steve?
Well, Joey Fatone filing for divorce from his wife of 15 years, Kelly Baldwin. Baldwin says when she first met Fatone, he was Mr. In Sync, and now he's Mr. His dentures are in the sink.
Yeah. Oh, durka, durka, durka.
Madonna is slamming a New York Times journalist who called her a fake intellectual feminist. Madonna took special exception to the reporter revealing that her hip-hop grill is locked in place with Polident. And finally, Camilla Parker Bowles has gone viral with a video that shows her knowingly winking while standing behind President Trump. The president wasn't upset by the gesture, mainly because he thought she was the lead singer from Whitesnake. And that's your Hollywood trash.
All right, we're going to go to the phones and see if we can get an answer to today's lesson question. Where's Marissa? See if she can find that song for me.
Okay.
Case. All right, thank you.
Where is it?
So what shape do table pancakes come in? 215-263-WMMR is the number. I am going to go to AJ to find the answer. Hey, AJ, how you doing?
Hey, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, buddy. What shape do table pancakes come in?
That'd be a parabola.
Parabola.
Yeah!
Hang on, AJ. We are going to take care of you, my friend, to get a pair of tickets to a live taping of the Comic Book Gurus podcast at the Franklin Institute, hosted by Steve Morrison, Thursday, June 13th at 6 p.m. And after the podcast, you can tour the exhibit, Marvel Universe of Superheroes. Explore Marvel's legacy through immersive set pieces, original artwork, movie props, costumes, and other rare materials. Now open at the Franklin Institute. Tickets and information at fi.edu. Let's get to music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, I don't have a sponsor, but I'm going to dedicate this to Katie and Frankie in our studio who just got engaged.
Just a minute ago.
No, it was last Friday. But I wanted to send this out to those two crazy characters.
Love birds.
All right, we're going to get into this with the fact that it's the 25th anniversary arriving Friday of Stone Temple Pilots' sophomore album, Purple, which is a phenomenal album. They're going to release... They're going to release a new Super Deluxe Edition. The triple CD single LP includes a newly remastered version of the original studio album on both CD and vinyl, plus unreleased versions of album tracks and rarities, along with an unreleased full concert recording from 1994.
I don't remember what songs were on that one.
Big Empty was on it.
Okay.
And Case, I should know this, and I can't remember, but I remember having it and going...
Space People.
This was the band.
But they come from space, so they don't come from here.
That might be the most covered song of all time.
I think so.
Yeah.
I just remember when it came out, I was like, wow, okay, here's my band. I really, you know, as much as Pearl Jam and Nirvana were banging away, this album was one that made me go, STP was a band to be reckoned
with. STP is for me.
So you had Vaseline was on there,
okay.
Interstate Love Song, Big Empty. Those are the big hits. Unglued was another good song.
I actually thought it was Pearl Jam.
Pretty Penny is another good one, too. Did you really?
Yeah, okay. Initially.
Yeah.
Wow, if all of these songs were on this album, then what was on Core?
Space People.
What?
They come from space, so they don't come from here.
Besides Plush, that is.
So Nick has pulled up Core. Dead and Bloated was on there. Sex Type Thing. Wicked Garden.
Wow.
That's a great one, too.
Holy crap.
What's that?
Creep was on there.
Plush.
Cracker Man. Man, that's a good tune.
That's good.
I'm a man.
This is uncanny.
Is that Cracker Man? Goes,
yeah. Cracker Man. So both Purple and Core. So when did Core come out? Was that
That was the first one, yeah.
That was like 93 or something like that.
June of 94.
And yeah, it was like 94 or something like that.
It was June of 94.
It was probably in June, sometime in 94.
Guess what?
Chicken butt?
Today is the anniversary of the release of Purple.
Oh.
It's today.
No way.
Yeah.
Okay.
The end is Purple.
So, anyway...
Was any of that information legitimate?
No, I got most of it wrong. Okay. Purple came out in June of 94.
Okay.
Core came out in 93.
Yeah, I was right! Woo!
Today's the anniversary of Purple coming out.
All right. They... Are you done with that?
I'm done with
it. Okay, I can turn it back up.
I thought we were playing Name That Tune.
I was too busy gloating to do my job, all right?
Here, Casey, pull up a random song.
Okay,
anything from any band, whatever. We're going to play Name That Tune, Steve.
All right.
The fade up and out
Okay,
edition.
See if you can do it.
Right,
start playing it, Lee. You know what? In fact,
is it an STP song?
No, it's
any song.
I have no idea who. I'm not even looking.
Don't even look.
And I'll continue on. Let the song establish. It's playing as we speak. I'll turn it up and then back down.
Sort of nervous now.
And you guys name the song. By the way, a limited edition bundle of the Super Deluxe Edition is now available to pre-order at StoneTemplePilots.com.
Say what?
All right, what was that?
Ooh,
I don't know.
Say what you?
Yeah.
Say what?
Oh, Third Eye Blind.
What's that?
Third Eye Blind?
No.
All right.
Space People?
You want it one more? Here, let's do another one. Hang on.
Get
Off
This!
Get Off This! Cracker!
Yeah! Where did that come out?
A new game!
All right.
That was too much. You gave up too much.
Ready to play?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Steve.
That is...
That's Vaseline from Stone Temple Pilots.
No, that's Space People. I just don't know the artist.
Space Vaseline.
Get another one ready. I'll go through
another one,
halfway through the next story. I'll do it again.
All right. Okay.
All right. Let me know when you're playing.
I'm playing.
Trent Reznor is apparently fine with the Netflix series Black Mirror taking several Nine Inch Nails songs and remixing them for a new episode called Rachel, Jack, and Ashley 2.
So he's fine with this.
Yeah, the episode stars Miley Cyrus. Cyrus.
Shut up.
That's okay. Keep going.
The name is Miley Cyrus.
As a pop star named Ashley O, who sings popular versions of Nine Inch Nails classics. Such
I think if we have enough genetic matter, we could actually create our own Miley Cyrus.
Such as Head Like a Hole. Reznor even gave Black Mirror creator Charlie Brooker permission to change the lyrics as needed. Brooker explained at a press conference, Reznor got it straight away. It was via email, and he was really happy. He wanted to see the script, and I got to rewrite his lyrics in a chirpy way.
How is the? How is that? Who watched all of Black Mirror? Did you,
it's just I'm, like three I'm in the middle of the Miley Cyrus one. That's
did you
the
say it was
one.
Just three episodes?
Yeah, I thought there was more, but yep.
Is it Nick good? Right. Is she good? Cyrus, Miley Cyrus? Cyrus?
She is, so far, because I didn't watch the whole thing, she's in the very beginning of it, and it's like she's a pop star in this. And, her brand creates like a like almost like an Alexa.
Okay,
but all right. It's like a doll, though.
Okay, interesting. Hang on. All right, what was that?
Wait, hold it. It's the bitches. You can't play that same clip again.
Nope.
All right.
Mm-mm. It's play. The song is playing. I just have it turned down and I fade it up and back.
Give us
out.
A little more.
You want a little more? Yeah. All right, here we go. Well,
sounds like Elvis Costello.
Radio.
Radio.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yay! All right, I got one. You guys ready?
Yeah.
All right, get ready.
That's the hamster dance.
Yes!
Is that what that's called?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let me think of another song.
Think of another one. Get another one ready. Say, okay. By the way, Charlie Brooker said, I'm not the best lyricist in the world, and there's one point where she's singing, I'm stoked on ambition and verve instead of you're going to get what you deserve. So he rewrote the lyrics. Brooker added... Trent thought it was all very funny. He found all of the dark comedy very entertaining. There are lots of dark concepts in the film. And we just enjoyed a childish subversion of them. The episode began streaming on Wednesday as Netflix premiered three new episodes as part of Black Mirror's fifth season. So, yeah, just three episodes. I guess that's a ripoff. I love Black Mirror. That's
total ripoff.
That's not cool. I hope that they... at least don't wait as long for the next season.
Is Miley Cyrus attractive?
Yes.
No.
Sometimes.
No.
All right.
For the most part,
not
no. I think, Kathy, but...
I think sometimes she can be.
Sometimes. All right. Hang on.
Wow.
That is... That's White Stripes.
Oh, is it?
Is that Icky Thump?
It's Icky Thump. Ah! Oh!
We found our game.
What do we call it? Fade in and out?
Rub one out.
Bill West didn't like that one.
All right, we're done with that for now.
Oh, man.
Thanks
for nothing.
Well, I have a story about someone dying, so we're not going to do it in the middle.
No, can't laugh at someone's death, Kathy.
Dr. John passed away.
Yeah.
I really liked him. He was pretty cool. He only had one real hit, but he played with so many musicians.
Was the one hit? Must have been the right place.
Right place, wrong time. This is it right here. Casey's got it. So, yeah, it was that came out in 1973.
But
And it was a top 10 hit. It was a big hit.
He was a perennial, though. He would sell out his shows. And
he was a great keyboard player, yeah. Besides just being a
singer. Did he do session work?
Yeah, he did all kinds of stuff. So, he was a legendary New Orleans musician and producer. And was 77 years old. You guys remember the song?
Must have been the wrong time. Days to Confuse soundtrack. Right thing, but I must have used the wrong line. I've been on the right trail,
but I must have used the wrong call. Hit us in a bad place. He died of a heart attack on June 6th. He was 77 years old. A message was posted on his official Facebook page, which read, towards the break of the day on June 6th, 2019, iconic music legend Malcolm John Rebinack Jr., professionally known as Dr. John, passed away at a heart attack. As a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee, six-time Grammy winner, songwriter, composer, producer, and performer, he created a unique blend of music which carried his hometown, New Orleans, at its heart and was always in his heart. The family thanks all whom have shared his unique musical journey and request privacy at this time. Memorial arrangements will be announced in due course.
Please send all donations to the Preston and Steve Show.
Listen to this. Ringo Starr, who tapped Dr. John as One of the inaugural members of his 1989 All-Star Band tweeted, God bless Dr. John. Peace and love to all his family. I love the doctor.
How often did he play with Ringo's?
It's a good question.
Band.
I'm not really sure. He had originally started as an L.A. session musician in the 60s. Behind the likes of Sonny and Cher and others. So he probably would have been involved in that Wrecking Crew group.
He might very well have been.
Somehow or another. Maybe not a direct member, but he would certainly have been within that circle.
That Ringo band that, you know, that he would do, it would come around, the tour would come around like every year.
Yeah.
He had some of the greats.
Yeah, it's fun. I've seen the show, and it's great.
Does he do it anymore?
Oh, yeah.
Does he?
Yeah, okay. In fact, October, I think. Marissa, what's that? You okay?
I said it in Casey's ear, but I said it really loud because I was shouting because I got really excited. It's August 14th.
Oh, August 14th.
At the Met.
Okay.
It's August 14th!
I saw you jump. I saw her cover her face. She has an intercom button that goes straight into your headphones,
and I think
right?
She turned it all the way up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you do that again?
It's August 14th!
I just saw Casey jump out. But no, I've had painful ear experiences. I shouldn't joke. So he has worked with the who's who in the world of music. John Lennon, Eric Clapton, Rolling Stones, Bob Dylan, Bette Midler, The Band. Bette Midler? Yeah.
Bette Midler's
Band. I thought
band.
I said her name wrong. Carly Simon and James Taylor, Van Morrison, Lou Reed, Greg Allman, Aretha Franklin, and there are literally dozens of others. In fact, Steve, his Thanksgiving 1976 performance of Such a Night at the band's final concert at Winterland, which was preserved for the silver screen in The Last Waltz, will be remembered for a long time.
I do remember that. Yes. Yeah. And I mean, to me, that is that might be the greatest concert movie ever.
It's pretty
amazing.
Martin
Scorsese directing it. And you have so many legends come out. It's just it has a magical look to it.
Yep. All right. Then one last story. Tool in Tool's ability to release a new album, or I should say inability to release a new album during the past 13 years, has apparently not done any damage to the band's pull as a concert attraction. Listen to this. The latest box score report has arrived, listing 3 sold-out shows in the Midwest that all grossed over $1 million.
Wow.
Each show. And this is a band who has not had an album out since 2006.
Imagine the amount of money they would have made over the years if they had done, you know, couple more tours if they're that popular. I don't know. Maybe is the fact that they've taken so long fueling all this interest.
The shows took place in St. Louis and Kansas City. All 3 earned more than $1.1 million. The numbers did not reflect the band's net income following payments to the crew and opening act, travel expenses, fees for manager, agent, and promoter and other costs. But it also didn't include the earnings from the sales of merch, which you know were tons as well.
Yeah.
Tool's currently raking in more big bucks as it plays a series of festival dates and headlining shows across Europe. More North American shows are expected later in the year. The band's long-awaited 5th studio album is due out August 30th, so before the end of the summer.
August 30th!
That's when it'll be. And there you go. That's what I have in music news for you.
Can we play again?
One more time?
I got one song here.
It's a U2 song. I already heard it.
No, I got a new one.
So serious
one.
Yeah. But I got to let it establish for a minute, so let me solicit for this. We have a pair of tickets to enjoy the Elmwood Park Zoo Beast of a Feast. June 20th. So it's our last pair of tickets I have a giveaway. We'll take caller 10 215-263-WMMR. Food samplings, open bar from over 30 restaurants, 12 breweries. You stroll through the zoo. You check out all the attractions.
There's nothing like it.
Have yourself a damn good time. You can get tickets at beastofafeast.com. So caller number 10 at 215-263-WMMR. We are going to take care of you. Here we go.
Oh, it's
WKRP
great...
in Cincinnati.
No.
Greatest American Hero?
No.
What is it played again?
It's a legit song. It's not a theme song.
I thought that was WKRP in Cincinnati. Anybody else?
One more time.
Angels
is Centerfold.
Yeah!
Centerfold, Jay Giles Band.
Nice. I think we've all got one.
I heard that. And I thought it was from...
Baby, if you ever wondered...
Nope. Under the desk. Wonderful. Not bad. Rub one out. New game. All right. We are going to take a break, and I'm going to go get another one of those little banana things. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us because we have our Word of the Week prize to give away when we get back.
Yes, podcasters, we have some for you. If you would like to go to the screening of Men in Black International on Tuesday, June 11th at 7:30 p.m. at the UA King of Prussia, email your name, age, and phone number to podcast@WMMR.com. It's another quick one, so we'll alert the winners on Monday. Good luck and have a great weekend, friends.
Friday morning. Oh, feels wonderful. When you get as close to quitting time as we do, hopefully you feel the same, or maybe you're wrapping up your day as well, or maybe you're just getting started. Either way, MMR is here to keep you company. It's what we do. Pierre Robert will be in here shortly to take over for a little while. But today has been a fun radio program.
It has been.
Great guests, fun conversation, really good food as well. And I would like to thank a few people for being a part of today's program. Thank you to Mr. Jimmy O. Yang.
Yeah, man.
Jimmy, wonderful. From you may know him from Crazy Rich Asians or Silicon Valley or Fresh Off the Boat. He's been in a whole lot of stuff.
BTS video.
And he does stand-up comedy. He's been doing that from the beginning. And he will be at Helium Comedy Club tonight and tomorrow, 7:30 and 10 p.m. He was a super nice guy, too. We've had like a whole host of really nice people this week.
It's amazing.
I love it.
I think we just bring that out in people.
And thank you to Elmwood Park Zoo, Beast of a Feast.
So good.
And especially Capital Grill and Bluebell Inn, who supplied food for our guests here today. And I'm sure they'll be supplying food for Beast of a Feast. And you can go to beastofafeast.com for this event. It is on June 20th. And all kinds of food and beverages, unlimited samples, by the way. And,
yeah, of course, the corn zoo, dogs. Yeah.
And the zoo itself, which is a lot of fun. No, the food's fantastic.
It's gourmet stuff, yeah.
It's excellent. So, Elmwood Park Zoo is where that is. Thank you guys for being here. I guess we need to do the letter of the day for the Word of the Week prize. So, let's fire that up and get ready to give it away.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter
Y, as in yo-ho-ho.
All right, and you should have a word, a five-lettered word. We'll take caller number 8 at 215-263-WMMR, and we will see if you do indeed know today's word of the week. Anybody got any appearances or things they want to hit? Yeah.
Yeah, I have First Friday tonight in Phoenixville, which I mentioned earlier in the show, and I've talked about for a few years now because it's a great time. It's every Friday. That's the first Friday of the month. And it's 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., corner of Bridge and Main. And like I said before, all the restaurants and all the bars open up their doors. It's a really nice vibe. People just walk around smiling, having a good time.
Is the mayor out and about? Because he's a cool dude.
He is a fantastic guy. He's a huge fan of the show. He just goes around and hugs everybody.
He's such a nice guy.
Yeah, he's a really great guy. So right on the corner of Bridge and Main, right in downtown Phoenixville, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., stop by, say hi tonight, and we'd love to see you.
All right, cool. And also, I want to mention once again the theme block party weekend that's going on here at MMR. Three song blocks, your favorite bands all weekend long. And the added bonus is there will be a special theme blocks that will be popping up from time to time. And when we prompt you, be the correct caller and guess the correct theme, and you can win a 4-pack of tickets to Dorney Park and Wildwater Kingdom. I love doing that. I love the guests, the common thread. Jackson does his as well. And,
it's a lot of fun.
But the block themes are pretty cool, too, and it's a chance for you to hear some great music and be a part of a cool contest. All right, so we were looking for caller number 8 to give us the word of the week. I think we have that person ready to go, and it is Jeff, who is 8. Hi, Jeff. Good morning.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good, Jeff. Do you know the word of the week?
I hope so. Word is juicy.
Juicy.
Hey! That's correct. Great day in the morning.
Hoo-coo-ca-choo, baby.
Zim-zab-a-diggy.
All right, Jeff.
Yep.
Since you got it right, we have 4 Hershey Park tickets and an overnight stay for 4 for you, my man. Congratulations.
God damn, that's awesome.
Enjoy. Hang on just a second. We'll get your information. Don't forget.
God damn.
Every Hershey Park ticket is packed with more than 70 attractions, including 14 coasters, an entire water park, and the all-new interactive gaming ride, Reese's Cup Fusion. And you can save on tickets at HersheyPark.com. Hershey Park, happiness is best when shared. So congratulations to you, sir. Coming up in just a moment, Pierre Robert will take over, and we can find out what he has in store for you on today's radio show. What's up, man?
Oh.
that there was something else you were going to do first.
No.
Life is grand.
Good. I'm
happy to hear that.
Just somebody a general observation.
Did somebody have a late night last night?
Not me.
No.
You're still lit.
I don't know. I love everybody.
Everybody, man.
Yes. Your hair looks wonderful.
It does. I'm sorry.
It looks like you wrestled a bear.
It is beautiful.
I'm a mess.
This is a tough day.
No, it's not, Buster.
All right.
Let's rock it.
I'm sorry.
Let's let her.
We did it.
We did.
We did the word.
In fact, this is, Pierre, this is Monday morning.
We gave away the word of the week prize.
Tell
already.
Us what's going on your
we
show.
We did?
Yeah.
Oh. Remember? Yeah, that interview with Jagger 10 minutes ago.
Right. I was on stage with the Beatles. I didn't remember. Okay. Let's, today on the show, we're going to have cool blocks. That'll be fun.
Music, right?
Cool
music.
Blocks.
Yeah.
Music blocks.
Oh, fun. That'll be fun.
That'll be fun.
Like we have a theme weekend of block parties.
Oh, cool.
And our theme today will be songs Kathy would like.
Oh, oh my gosh.
All day long.
We're going to be dancing.
We're going to start with Slayer.
Oh, God.
And see where we go from there.
All right.
We'll have workforce blocks of Live and Bush because both of those bands are in Atlantic City tonight. I think at the Hard Rock. And they're great. And they're touring together. They're both doing legendary albums.
Throwing Copper
and 16 Stone.
Yeah,
I think,
correct. Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So that's cool. We have a workforce block of Pretenders. I thought we hadn't done the letter yet.
No, we did it.
I was good. Sorry. I was right in the next room.
Yeah.
I was
curious as
trying to get it
in
together.
Here. Yeah.
Ed will have,
he was having some prime rib.
It does it to me every time when I have that cowl.
Yeah. Just, extra rare.
Extra blood rare,
yeah.
As my mother used to say.
Mm-hmm.
Other fun things. It'll be a great day.
All right. I'm sure it's going to be grand.
Letter was E.
It was Y.
Word.
I made it Y.
Right. The word letter was Y. It was going to be juice, but it turned out to be juicy.
Yep.
Yeah. Just like you planned.
That's the way we rock.
Yes, it is.
Let's.
Since 1968.
Color some right now.
Color some?
Yeah.
Color some right now?
We're going to color some.
Oh.
Right.
Need a B12 shot as quick as you can.
We're going to color between the lines, and then we're going to take our oranges and scrape them against the rock and make orange juice.
Scrape them against the rock.
Yeah. You know.
As Jesus did.
As Jesus did.
When he was making mimosas. For the Last Supper. Everybody in? Thomas, would you like one?
All this time we thought it was wine.
Yeah.
It was
really
mimosas.
It was the last brunch.
Yeah, come on, Thomas.
That's excellent.
I love that idea.
So the last brunch.
That's brilliant.
Do you remember the guy who got the tattoo of all of us on his back?
And me
as Jesus?
It was the Last Supper.
As the Last Supper.
Yeah. Crazy.
That guy is still out there. God
Somewhere bless. There's a guy with Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
With our faces on there, like his entire back.
Huge.
Wow. Yeah. That is dedication.
It is.
We owed him to stay on the air for some years.
We do.
Yeah.
You do.
All right, I need to thank our sponsors. The Preston and Steve Show has been brought to you today by Dunkin', the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. The Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. By the way, it's National Donut Day. Remember that.
And Chocolate Ice Cream Day.
Buy a beverage and you get a free donut at Dunkin'. So. Also brought to you by Acme, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show. And Chorus Photography, the official photographers of the Preston and Steve Show. Next weekend on the program in our studio will be Chris Porter and... Todd Glass.
Oh, boy.
Yep. Todd will be in town, so he will be joining us. So I think we're done. Yeah, that's it. We're done. Rage on. Have yourself a great weekend, dear friend. We will see you on Monday. Pierre's in next. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
All right. Here's for the guy who hates hearing the Baby Shark song, and now it's stuck in my head. I want to return the favor for him and everybody else out there while I'm driving my preschooler to his very last day.
Next message.
Once upon a time, there was a boy named Casey who stuck shrimp up his nose, and then he smelled all day. Love you guys. Bye.
Next message.
Baby shark.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.